Welcome to the 12 Days of Podcasts. We are on day two. This series of 12 perfect episodes is brought to you by the good people at Def Jam. Tomorrow, December 15th, Jeezy will be dropping his new album, Pressure, and everybody is on it, but Jeezy's got a song with J. Cole and Kendrick that is bananas. The flow Cole comes in with is crazy, and that's even before Jeezy says, "My president was black, now my president is whack," which, facts, 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 facts. You cannot ban the snowman, but you can buy the album at JeezyShop.com. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Day number two of the 12 Days of Podcast.
Can you believe we made it this far?
You know what? I can't. But we're here.
A prayer, yeah.
And we have 10 more to go. Can we make it?
Honestly, okay, so here's the thing. We have a few scheduled. We have a few done.
Yeah.
We might not make it.
We're going to try.
The plan is, hopefully, hopefully we will get to December 24th.
The plan is 12 episodes in a row. We're two in. Pray for us, guys.
Yeah, like, we really should think about these, like, earlier. Well, instead of just coming up with it in the beginning of December.
What? This will be a Christmas miracle if we make it through. But thank you guys for rocking with us. Jeff, last night we went to a Reebok event. It is a new sort of campaign that they're doing called 3AM. And this event that they did with Foot Locker was with Cameron and Gucci Ghost.
Yes.
And it was super dope, especially because Clark Kent was there spinning and Cam was performing. And the funniest part to me was that it's packed with everybody in this small space, and Cam comes out to perform on this balcony, and we all look, and Cam is up there performing, and he performs half of like one song and then leaves, and we're like, okay, cool. Now meanwhile, the security team has come by to the right of us and pushed us the hell out of the way behind these velvet ropes. At that point, I was just like, all right, who knows what they're doing? And then, like a magician,
Cam shows up right next to, and it's like, by the way, you know, we're fans of Cam.
Yeah.
We're friendly with Cam.
Yes.
It is so embarrassing to be front row at the it's pop-up Cameron
beyond
show.
Embarrassing then to get a text message from Bun B.
Yeah.
Saying, ooh, front row at the Reebok event.
I was like, what is this? Like,
a shot?
Yeah. Trying to, like, embarrass me even more. Like, anyway. This isn't like a humble brag. This is honestly your...
We did not want to be front row. We would have been fine like in the back of the room. We thought we were in the back of the room, but all of a sudden you just showed up.
You just look like a couple of birds like front row. And it's like, am I pressured into filming everybody else is?
Yes, the answer is yes. Also, did I look away from Cameron the entire time after he dapped us up? Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, do not make eye contact. Do not rap lyrics.
I hate rapping lyrics at the artist.
Don't look like a bird.
Yeah, don't look like a thought. Like, you cannot not look like a thought.
And by the way, there's a million people in there and everyone's like, you know, pushing you in every direction. I'm just like looking at the ceiling. I'm trying to like look at Cam's sneakers, just anywhere else.
Anyway, it was a fun event. Thanks to Frank the Butcher for inviting us.
It actually was a really awesome event. The shoes are super dope.
Yes.
And we had a great time at the event. Guys, this is the second episode of the 12 Days of Podcast. Today on the podcast,
we have so many people in our apartment.
Seven. Count them, seven. We have Naomi Zeichner. We have Phil Chang. We have Rembert Brown. We have Scotty Beam. We have Jinx Jenkins. And us.
Yeah, it's almost as many people as like when the Migos were here.
And we talk about everything in 2017. Jeff came up with the categories this year, and there's a lot of fun ones.
Yeah.
And it's a dope conversation. I hope you guys make it through the whole thing. It's a long episode, but there's a lot of stuff to cover. Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
I just want to explain one thing before we get into it. Even though I came up with the categories, I wish that I put more thought into my actual responses.
Your answers?
Yeah.
I feel like we did this last year, too, where you were like, I don't know.
Well, no. Last year, I was terrible. This year, I feel like I was, you know, on point, but I'm just saying, yeah, I put in the thoughts for the categories, but it's not like I was like, oh, you want to know what? I have an automatic answer for these.
Okay, so no one should listen to what you say with any level of seriousness.
Nobody ever does. So what is the difference?
All right, well, now we got 2 hours of it. Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Throwing Shots, a.k.a. Cocktail.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Walk of Shame, a.k.a. Bon Voyage.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time, but it's the real. Jeff. This is the second annual year-end wrap-up, 2 years strong.
We did it.
We have a different lineup this year, different categories this year, different snacks around the room.
There's so many snacks.
Before we get into the entirety of the year 2017, I want to make mention that we're recording this at the top of December.
Yeah.
So anyone who complains that we didn't include the surprise Young Thug and Slim Thug and Bone Thugs collaboration album that's dropping as a surprise strictly on Etsy.com on December 30th as best collaboration, please forgive us.
Yes.
Everyone in this apartment tonight, you'll remember them from their own solo episodes of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. All are amazing students, devotees, and obsessives of music, and most importantly, Jeff, are our real-life friends. To my left, Rember Brown, who you loved at Grantland and New York Magazine. To his left, Naomi Zeichner, who you loved at Fader and YouTube. To her left, Brandon Jinx Jenkins, who you loved at Complex News and Pigeons and Planes. Across from me, Phil Chang, whose work you loved most recently on that Calvin Klein campaign, which featured Solange Knowles and Dev Hynes and the entire ASAP mob and more. To my right, Deani Scott, a.k.a. Scotty Beam, who you loved at Hot 97, Revolt, Scotty Feedback, and now every weekday afternoon on Satori Radio. And to Deani's right, that is Jeff.
That's me.
Who has a rundown of this year's categories.
You also loved me on several of our episodes. Yes, we will be doing the Artist of the Year, Ad Lib of the Year, Best Interview of the Year, Favorite Rap Album, Favorite R&B Album, Worst Hook, Favorite Verse, Best Social Media Account, Artist or Otherwise, Best New Artist, Biggest Year for a Non-Artist, Brand, Service, and Executive, Someone or Something You View as Having a Surprisingly Good Year, The Biggest Fall-Off, and Our Dream Collaborations for 2018. And let's get into it now.
Starting with
the Artist of the Year.
All right.
I just really am not prepared.
In no way. You have to talk into the microphone, yes. Phil.
I'm not prepared.
Did you guys make all the bowls and...
No, so our mom used to live
this
down.
Is just talk about it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just curious.
Our mom used to live down in North Carolina and collects a lot of pottery, and she is nice enough to give those pieces to us.
I asked because
so someone did make them.
My pottery game's up there, so yeah. I saw it, I recognize it. I
you appreciate
to,
it. Yeah. Thank you very much.
My favorite artist is ceramics.
Something like.
Next question,
Jeff. So this artist can be either
a rapper, a singer, a
Anything
in music.
All right. And just so everybody knows, when we had Deani up here for her solo podcast most recently, did you say that you won last year's?
I did win.
Okay, you won.
Yeah, I mean, on all...
Oh, is this a competition?
No, it's not a competition.
I freeze.
But I feel like everything I named was good. Everything
oh,
was.
Oh, okay. It's just personal preference.
Everything was factual.
If it's a competition, I'm ready to lie.
It's like a Montessori school.
No. But this everyone's time you said this one is based on like favorites. Like we can
it is.
Do favorites.
Oh. We're trying not to say like best or worst.
Then
right?
Why'd you send best?
Who
to
was
us?
Your pick last year?
I forgot. I totally forgot. I have to listen to it
they
again.
They thrived, but
huge year.
But
huge
it was year. It was big. It was big. Whatever I said. Yeah. It was big.
So who is your favorite artist of 2017?
That's hard. That one, it was a very hard one. I can't really pick. I'm going to say my favorite artist is going to be probably the same person with the biggest year, which is Cardi B.
Mm.
And she's going to be my favorite. Between that, I mean, I'd say Kendrick Lamar. I would say Kendrick Lamar.
Safe.
I'm going to say Kendrick Lamar.
Safe.
That's safe, right?
Yeah, Cardi. Go with Cardi.
I'm going to go with Cardi.
You should say Cardi.
I'm going to go with Cardi. Cardi had a great year. Cardi I mean, she had the biggest year.
She did
period.
Have the biggest year.
She hasn't disappointed me yet with a bad verse.
Can we not
verse.
Jump ahead with questions? I get, like, really...
with a bad verse.
I
don't
and, know what
to yeah, all around. I mean, what is it? Her single is triple platinum now? Triple?
Sure.
Triple. Yes.
I think... it was, I don't know, it was like March or January or something very early in this year where there was like a Migos promotional party and Cardi B met Offset and it was like, oh, that's so cute that Offset would, you know, like or that Cardi B got to meet Offset.
Aww.
And you think about the time that's passed and you just think about
yes,
it.
Yes, and she got
it was
engaged.
Really two acts this year and one was sort of Cardi B in preparation and one was Cardi B in domination.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, for
so.
Sure.
Wow.
I think last year on this podcast we talked about Uzi being like best new artist or like you know most promising and I would actually I think maybe Uzi is my favorite thing this year
of this year.
Yeah,
jumping off of that like platform and taking over streaming and
I mean I think like that's I think that's the best single. Exo Tour Life is the best song. Right Hook, or one of among them.
Yeah,
lots of good songs this year, but that one's pretty
name
resonant.
Every good song this year.
I'm on it.
Is that how we're going though? Like best single equals best artist?
No, not at all.
No, we're just having a conversation,
no
Phil.
It's just no
first. I didn't realize it was a competition,
and then now.
No, I mean I'm scared over here. So, yeah.
What feels distinctive to this year? Because like agreed, like Kendrick and Jay put out incredible albums. Like you know those are all like and yeah. But I think Uzi had a year that will be among his best years.
This might be the obvious choice, but I feel like Jay-Z is the artist of the year. Like here's somebody who could have been written off after all of his mistakes with Beyonce, but instead bounces back and is so honest and revealing, and it's so unexpected for somebody who's not just such a huge artist, but also someone of his age. And this album not only fit into the larger conversation, but led that conversation. Like, he's talking about race, and he's talking about sexuality, and he's talking about all these things. And it translated into his interviews with Elliot at Rap Radar and the New York Times. And, I mean, talk about an unexpected choice. Like, Jay-Z is Artist of the Year. Does nobody agree with me?
No.
I think I think all of those things I would say are and like no shots to Jay because he is his own artist and an incredible person who's made so many contributions to culture, but I feel like a lot of those things that you just mentioned are like straight out of the Parkwood strategy book. So if we're talking about like, so is the Beyonce is the best artist of the year.
And that's the answer right there. That makes the most sense.
Well, yeah, I completely like, I was thinking Jay because I think Jay was like the most, like made the most interesting moves all year, and I also never expected to really care about Jay anymore.
Yeah.
So the fact that I like genuinely care about him makes like that is one of the standout things for my 2017. But it's like he just got like the greatest alley-oop from Beyonce, like from and that entire just like another good year for Parkwood. Like,
what do you think is engineering all that?
Like, Tina,
roll out between Lemonade, 444.
I don't think anyone is. He's in there, but I think it's actually like hella people in that kitchen, and it's the grace of God that is tying them all together.
It's lawyers.
Mine is like we're talking about Jay and like what we didn't expect. Mine is Kendrick because we did expect. We were like when Jay dropped, I was like, just make a couple bangers, right? Like just don't fuck this up.
Right.
And then he dropped an album that I didn't expect from him and it was amazing. But I had high expectations for Kendrick and I didn't really know what he was going to offer. And then when I heard the album, I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't like it was palatable. It was like enjoyable and he jumped into a lot of different lanes that I didn't think he could. Sometimes when you go super serious or super these cookies are amazing. Super straightforward.
I'm telling you.
They are. I'm like everyone's savoring sleeping. Them. You know, it's like
Numinose. Vanilla.
You know, you can get in a lane where you can't really move around, and he was able to like push the walls out and still like get some moves off. And he had a really, really good year, like commercially, critically, in a year that he needed to, you know, and in a climate that he didn't do the old shit, did something different.
Totally.
Yeah. For me, it's Kendrick.
Phil?
The reason I brought up the single thing was because I was just like, When you sent me the question, I was like, or when you sent me the question, I was like,
yeah, we're different people.
Who put out a body of work like in a time where no one seems to really give a shit about that anymore? And for me, I don't know. Like, this is like, and I also forgot that it was this pod, so my answer is Saint Vincent.
Okay,
let's go. Yes.
Shouts to Wesleyan or some shit. Yeah, I don't know. She, like, if you go see her live and fucking, or just listen to the record, it's, like, weird. Like, people who make albums that you can listen to from top to bottom now. It's, like, and Kendrick definitely did that. Jay definitely did that, I felt. But, I don't know, for some reason she dropped that album and, you know, had, like, a really New York video that came along with, like, the lead single. That shit just spoke to me.
I have two. I want to say, obviously, Cardi B because, you know, full body of work or not, she was on the cover of every magazine. She ran the conversation. She was dynamic and proved so many people wrong and beat out Taylor Swift. And like she got engaged. Like she had the best year ever, right? And everyone was rooting for her, which is so dope. The other person that I thought of for best artist of the year, and he's not even an artist anymore, so he says, is Joe Budden. Like, I think, like, he's
what a
had
year.
I think he's had an amazing year.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And Eric, we took the train for you.
And I know.
We got snacks.
He's the centerpiece.
We came so far.
He's the centerpiece of conversation. No one can
every
stop talking
day.
About him.
Every
day.
I will be billing you
it's
for
those. It's so crazy.
My friends don't talk about Joe Budden.
You know how much I Ooh, love being
really?
Home?
Yachty Are your friends does. On Twitter?
Yeah. I'm not-
home is my favorite place, and I came all the way up here for this.
I also had a runner-up.
Who was?
I had Frank Ocean just because he didn't drop. I mean, he dropped like singles this year, but again, he's someone else that expanded his palette. Like, he dropped that whole body of work, and we don't see him, and then it's very contained, and we, all right, fucking blonde all the way through. Then he drops songs that are like rap songs, pop songs, songs that you can dance to, party to, and he went. All he did was do a tour, do a couple magazine spreads, and he still dominated every time because, like, the same thing with Jay, same thing with Kendrick, Beyonce. Cardi's the total opposite, but it's like
Saint Vincent.
These people, yeah, these people you don't see, and whatever they give us, we're super thankful for because they don't give a shit, and Frank doesn't give a shit.
Frank's live set was like actually
crazy.
Innovative.
Yeah,
like,
that's
actually
the one I was
groundbreaking,
tight I missed.
And it's super hard to do anything at a festival that like
people
is
care
engaging to watch and like also engaging to watch on the internet. At, you
the
know,
Brad
like,
Pitt Spike Jonze thing was this year, right?
Yeah, it was crazy.
There was a point
it's
where
amazing.
I didn't know to look at the screen or him because the screen was looked that good. And then like meanwhile, Spike Jonze is running around the stage and Frank sounds better than he does on the record, which we were all nervous about.
Yeah.
He, and to if you can stretch the life of a record today, that's huge. Hell that yeah. record dropped a year ago before he even went on took it on tour and he nailed it. Most people get like weeks or a couple months out of a record.
By the way, I thought that Jay got me to do the impossible by signing up for Tidal, but like Frank got his fans, his supporters to buy vinyl and magazines and, you know, whoever thought that would happen.
I went
so.
Broke for Frank.
I have a Tidal. I have a Tidal speech forthcoming.
Oh, right now?
Later.
Okay.
Is that what you wrote on the receipt?
Yeah.
Rem has a receipt, a literal receipt,
yeah.
sitting on top of a cardboard box. That he keeps referring to as if there's more written on there no, than there two is. Sentences.
And I also want to say with Cardi B too, you know, Love and Hip Hop is the biggest black hole of washed ever. Once you enter Love and Hip Hop, you will never get a chance to be as successful ever again.
And then you look at Joe Budden and you see success.
Or is it the great come up?
It's changing.
But but at least Joe Budden had a body of work. You know what I'm saying? Before all that and stuff like that, people knew that he could rap and that he was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And
good beard.
He had a great beard.
And great vests.
Yes. And you know, and opinions.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Cardi B, just starting out, she didn't even have her teeth fixed yet.
Yeah.
And she was definitely on Instagram talking reckless.
I loved it.
Where you could have gone totally out their way. Like, there could have been, it could have been gone, finished for her. Done. Game over. It was a wrap. Because once I heard that she was on Love and Hip Hop, I was like,
yeah.
It was good while it lasted.
Or this is the highest you'll go.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And then when she did that, and she was, you know, she surpassed Jocelyn Hernandez, and I was like, damn, like, she's out here. And that's why I just put her on there, because I don't even think she had an idea of how far she can go, especially being from where she's from.
Mm.
So that's why I think that she would be the best artist for me, because, you know, she really is a testament for, like, believing in yourself.
And wow. Also, like, when shit pops up, seizing it and then navigating it. She went from a hoe don't get cold to
Fact.
Grammy nom.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's my... I wish I had a month that good. You know what I'm saying? Like that's insane.
And I just want to pause and talk about how amazing that single actually is. Like, it's not just that we're all rooting for Cardi B. It's not just that she's the funniest person ever and that she's Cinderella and that we all want her to win, because, like, all of those things are true and she will continue to win. But, like, that song has lyrics that...
Oh, it makes you want to hit people.
But, like, people know that song word for word.
Yeah, yeah.
All different kinds of people.
Yeah.
Song has a profound message. It's, like, about, like, freedom and feminism.
And empowerment,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and, like, economic freedom and independence. Like it means something that people get excited about that, and I think they'll get excited about it for years. And, like, I'm very thankful that that belongs to her and that she gets to continue to give that to us.
I remember the first time I heard it out, and it was like that moment where, like, a party full of guys, like, went on the outside of the circle, and just like 50 women were just doing every single lyric, and I was like, oh,
but they got
this is incredible.
But
like,
they got to have the excitement that the Adidas track pant kids feel about when they hear Travis Scott.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I also realized too, like, parties need that dynamic where it's like, you can't, I hate, like, when you play records and it's like, the dudes in the circle and the girls are on the fringes, and this is like, because dudes do whatever girls do. They'll be like, all right, like, if my thing is always like, if a woman comes up to, I mean, no, like, but now we know that they do, right? Because we never got to test it, like, in modern history. Like,
well, it's been a long time since Nicki Minaj, you know what I'm saying? Nicki Minaj, when she was actually like
when that Monster Verse came on, everybody rapped.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's also like, you know, women are 50% of people, so if women aren't fucking with your record, your audience is profoundly smaller.
It's done.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and later on, I'm going to get into a lot of people whose work went into making that single and that this project and this huge Cardi B wave what it is. But I do want to shout out Naomi, because when we went to PS1 and saw her out there, and she performed with Ferg and a bunch of other people, she destroyed that place. And that place felt like some sort of energy that I hadn't felt in a long time. So that was a great booking by you and a great like day for everybody.
The week that Bodak Yellow came out, she also played on a boat with like this New York crew, the Brujas.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's something that people need to remember. Like, that's how far that single went, like, from like a bunch of kind of like punk cool kids that Cardi knows are cool and knows are worth her time, like, to the entire world. Like, I, you know, and like, that's the year Cardi had that she showed up for anybody that she believed in, and that's why people want to give that back to her.
Four different clients I pitched her to in something like March or April, and every single meeting, who the fuck is this? We don't really, like, who? She has
name the brands.
And then,
air them out.
You know, literally, you're just watching this thing happen, like, over the span of weeks and, you know, just relatively few months, where, what, New York Mag cover, then all the nominations start coming in.
Rolling Stone, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know, it's... I'm really interested to hear, like, from casting directors, like, from March, like, when we were talking about it, like, what the increase in the billings, in the prices now, just in, like, the span of, like, half a year.
The oral history of people that passed on Cardi.
I know a bunch.
Like,
yeah.
It's literally, like, it's, like, 2-3 months, like, everybody.
Mm. I also think just, like, in the year that was 2017, it was nice to root for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so much fun. Like, every, like... Because in her, like, on her Instagram and on Twitter, like there's so much, like performance art, like, that happens. Like, to watch someone, like, genuinely be excited by the direction that her life is going in every day. Like, it was, like, the most contagious
it's wild
thing
got,
to see play out this year. Like, by a landslide.
It's Bodak Yellow and Motorsport, right? That's, like, that's basically what it is right now.
Her catalog?
No, like, I know, like, there's, but, like, this year.
Yeah, G-Eazy.
Yeah, the
G-Eazy
song,
record.
I think, is bigger.
Even
the
Juicy J shit is picking up now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you might want to talk to me.
I'm sorry. I forgot where I was.
Guess who's not winning this year?
Right. No, I said No Limit.
Mm-hmm.
With G-Eazy, which is, like, really, for me, Cardi B song. And,
mm-hmm.
Then you have Juicy J joint. I don't know the name of the song.
Kama Sutra.
Kama Sutra.
Yeah.
It's
that's
also like
up.
Those. But it feels like she like lived a life this year.
Even if it didn't pick out, up, those are like a couple songs. Like artists, we give them so many takes to get it right. Like, you drop so many songs, then you get another hit. Then you get another hit. If she has one more before the year's out, or one in early winter or spring, it's and people make whole careers off one song, right? Like it's crazy. You're just around.
Mm-hmm.
She stretched it, and like as we see her, there's nothing to dislike about her. Like you said, it's fun to root for her.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're rooting for this one dude. We're rooting for this one woman. So everybody's in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the most fun record to play. Like, if as a DJ, you get to sit and watch. Like, you want people to act chaotic for a little bit. That's, say, chaotic and, like, grinds and, like, people acting up and, like, people arguing with the bar. Like, everyone thrives to it.
Yeah.
It's such a great record.
Next category, ad lib of the year.
Oh, I know this. This is just ooh by everybody. It is. It's, I mean, like Uzi, Cardi, Lil Pump,
Made in Tokyo.
Yeah, Made in Tokyo. A has gone on to be the point of like all the older guys say. Like
right.
Drake has A raps, Kendrick has A raps. Ooh is the new shit.
Oh, okay.
Ooh is the new A O.
Yeah, ooh is the new A.
Ooh.
How's that for a statement of fact?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with
I agree.
Michael Dapa.
I'm just like, yeah. The sound of O. Yeah.
Michael Dapa, by the way, is the person in the world who is as likable as Cardi B.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Good guy.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say that entire verse, or maybe that or Bad and Bougie.
Wait, is that Man's Not Hot, dude?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was thoroughly. Okay, yeah, you got me. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thoroughly confused. Got it.
I was confused until more people started co-signing. I just fell back like,
yeah, Michael Dapper.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
I'm like, my
Big Shaq.
But what on Bad and Bougie though?
Lil Uzi's entire verse.
Oh. Yeah.
That's my least favorite moment of 2017.
What, me saying that verse? Lil Uzi's verse? Yeah.
Was Bad and Bougie, this year?
I think that's a 2016 moment, but Culture did drop in 2017.
Yes. Yeah.
But like,
but Bad and Bougie preceded it.
I can't remember.
My ad lib is all of the ad libs from T-shirt. Mm, namely, when Takeoff says no one when they ask him who can stop him, and he says no one. It is so calm. It's he's not expressing an opinion. It's just a fact. It's like, name someone who can stop
him. He was leaving the no studio.
Every time I hear that, like an angel gets his wings, and I'm like so empowered.
He was leaving the studio.
No, like, who can stop me? No one.
There's
it's the greatest thing.
There's a Quality Control QC Posse album coming out tomorrow, tonight,
yes,
but something like that. And I just fall asleep praying for Takeoff solo tracks all the time.
Who great year, Coach K.
Was just talking to about Takeoff. Someone was just talking about having a song with Takeoff. I can't remember. It happened today.
No, I'm like telling you, that's happening. Takeoff is going to.
We actually at Pitches and Planes, we did the breakdown of like how the percentages. Quavo has the biggest market share of like songs and Prestige and all that shit. And then it's Offset, but Takeoff has to have 2018. It's good business for them.
Sure.
And he's a really strong lyricist, and I think people don't see his personality, but like, this is the year for him. Well, I hate seeing them pop up, and it's like they're on Atlanta, and then Quavo's the only one with lines, or like Quavo's the only one doing like features or collab albums.
But they do pass the rock around. Like, it's not like Takeoff's Michelle Williams.
No,
you know,
initially they were really fair about it, but
sorry.
but when they passed rock to Quavo, he took it really far. Offset took it almost as high. I think when they were passing the rock equally, they just weren't as celebrated as a group. Now they're in the limelight, so this year's should
be
Takeoff.
I just think they all have their own independent complementary value and always have.
Yeah.
And I think
we choose to celebrate what we want at different times.
I just want it all from all of them. I think, you know, Offset's probably the best songwriter in that, like, not lyrics writer, but straight up songwriter in that group, though.
Like, I mean, Without Warning is amazing. Rappers.
It's so crazy because when they popped up, I was like, okay, this is cool. And to see them, like, they're a substantial part of rap in a way that's like they have clones now, and like they're here to stay.
Like, their clones are about to have clones. Like, we're like multi-generation.
Their clones are like grandpas in this game right now.
Yeah,
which is wild.
Yo, really on last year's podcast, I said I was like most disappointed by them in 2016. I thought like that they didn't like fully deliver, and this year they completely just turned everything that I argued upside down.
What changed?
They were coming to
they
press.
They put out great product.
They were coming to press
culture.
Sober.
Yeah.
Culture is a thing.
Yo, shout out to Raina Bass for really conceiving a really incredible album campaign. I think actually like there was a packaging moment that in addition to those singles, which are undeniable, like elevated the product in them.
It was a
great
body
music
art.
Videos. The video when they're in when I think they're in Nigeria, like for
Call casting.
The t-shirt.
That's
t-shirt
literally
is
like
a movie.
I'm like, are these motherfuckers in Aspen right now? Like
Christopher Nolan directed.
Yeah, I was like this looks like is that a bow and arrow? Like oh my, like I'm obsessed with.
You know what was cool? They took themselves seriously. And that's like what you want out of artists, because like we see them in various stages, right? They come to press and like they're like kind of in it, kind of not in it. They were super present, like, you know, they were, and they did everything right. Like their album artwork, their videos, their songs,
the
like,
name of the album.
Everything matters. You know, everything matters. And they actually checked each box, and they either excelled or filled a box that they weren't before. And that, like, now they're here to stay.
Produced Call Casting again, Buddha Bless. That shit was crazy. That beat was wild.
Mm.
It's like the weirdest, greatest beat.
Yeah.
They deserve it.
Jeff, any other ad libs?
Do you want me to add? I don't know.
Yes.
okay. Best interview of the year.
Mine is Jay-Z on
Rap Radar.
Because it's like, I'm sure there's like a lot of other artists out there for sure, but that's a big one. It's a hard get, and they got it. Clearly, it was self-serving in a lot of ways. He's familiar with Elliot.
He's familiar with Tidal.
Yeah, very familiar. But you know what? We always want Jay interviews, and then it gets to the point where like, well, what is he going to tell us? And after an album that told us so much about himself, his personal life, that was the interview we needed. It was 2 hours. He was likable without pandering, and like, when's the next time we're going to get a Jay-Z interview? That's real. Because even the Times?
New York Times.
Yeah. New York Times, that had a lot of the things that if you watched Rap Radar, it echoed it. And the Times is for a different audience. Like his. Right.
Yeah, like an audience that doesn't know the titles of Jay-Z songs.
Yeah, you know? But I think he held it down, and it's like what we want. He could have. We've seen him give not as good whack. We've seen him give whack interviews before. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. And like, it was maybe the biggest this year. Maybe.
Yeah.
RT, everything that Jinx just said.
Shout out to them rolling out that interview for like 6 months. I was like, is this the same Jay-Z interview? Okay.
We're up to something.
Just making sure. Like that video, that interview had a lifespan of 2017.
This year is about content.
And they asked good questions. Good. They asked really good questions, I thought.
Naomi. I mean, they've been waiting their whole life for that moment. I mean,
but you can fuck it up too.
Elliot,
you know?
Not whole life. I mean, yeah, Elliot Wilson literally asked. All the time for Jay-Z. All the time. Except for Drake. Between Drake and Jay-Z, that man always
is
very persistent about having Jay-Z on the show. So I'm just happy that, you know, both of them are they're researchers. They love doing their research on the culture. So the questions that they asked were really, really good. And they've been waiting for this moment for a minute. So these questions weren't just, you know, didn't pop up last night. It came out throughout their whole life. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, because, you know, B-Dot's been a Jay-Z fanatic as long as I've known him.
There was stuff that I heard that got cut. Like, I had heard through someone else that, like, he had asked about the 92 bricks, and it just didn't fit with that, and it didn't make it. I don't know what the answer was said, but, like, that's just content to drop next year.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Yeah, if Jay lets him.
I don't know. I'm just going to give my obligatory speech about how, like, journalism is endangered. And, you know, like, I think everybody here is reacting to that Jay-Z interview because it's real. Like, he really committed. I mean, it's real. It's the real interview he gave to the company that he owns, right? So, like, there's, which sort of proves my point to some extent. But people appreciated that was an authentic, revealing, thorough conversation. I think, you know, at the top of my year, I was like, you know, harassing Atlantic Records about the fact that, like, you know, Uzi, who I'm sitting here and saying is my favorite artist of the year, you know, like, committed to doing cover story with the Fader and then basically didn't give us an interview. You know, and it's like a difficult thing. And I think a lot of people are giving interviews, but they feel like advertising. They feel like, you know, and
PR, not an interview.
Yeah, and I think that's like, all of that is fine. Like, I'm here for, like, you know, corporations making content, labels trying to make their own content, everybody's trying to tell stories. But, you know, when a story is not interesting, it's not interesting. Like, Cardi B was on the cover of every magazine. Like, tell me which was your favorite one. You know, the best one was Fader when she talks about keeping the razors in her ass crack. That was the best Cardi B moment. But I'm just saying, like, you know, those moments are rare. And so I'd like, just shout out to any artist who makes themselves vulnerable. And I think, you know, like, it takes time. I think there's a very compelling reason why a lot of young people don't do it. And, you know, I don't personally blame them or something, but I do think music stories matter. I think artist stories matter. And I think somebody like Jay-Z, who has lived a long life and grown up, I respect him for making himself available in that way.
Setting the tone, you know, for other artists that want to aspire to be. And there's a lot of guys that are super exciting that are, like, close to him. That, like, when's the last time we heard a Drake interview that really mattered? Because he's not participating. He's not playing ball anymore, you know?
Right, pardon?
Or, like, or if that's the case, do a Frank and don't talk to anybody. You know what I mean? But, like, you're doing interviews with, like, the brand that you're associated with. And, like, that's what Jay did. That's cool. But then you're not really saying anything.
Right.
Or, like, you're, like, it's performative. It's not valid or valuable. And it sucks. It makes our jobs harder. But also, like, then the audience doesn't care, you know? And they just want PR, a lot of them. And a guy that big doing something that revealing is sick. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of genuine and vulnerable and Cardi, Tim Westwood, Cardi B, huge interview.
I did not see that.
The one where he talks about
weird.
When he, like, reveals way too much about himself.
It's
and
very rapey.
How much he knows about...
Like rapey? All right.
How much he knows about wigs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but he drops lace fronts on her and stuff?
Hard pass for the boy, then.
Not good.
I just want to take a second. I don't know if we're not supposed to be, like, patting each other on the back or whatever, but I think that Jeff and I pulled off a remarkable feat in bringing basically everybody but Jay-Z together and selling out Highline Ballroom for our Rockefeller interview, which, by the way...
That was this year.
That was this summer. And yeah, like, talk about, like... You know, putting together something that was just like not done in a very long time, and also, or if ever, and getting people to tell stories that they've never told before in a new and interesting way as live theater for everyone. That is what we did. And if anyone wants to listen to that, they can go back and check out that on this podcast.
What did Jinx and Naomi just say about PRing yourself?
That we have to do it.
Yeah.
What I think is crazy about that is like it's like. When you start to work on products at a certain point, it's not even like the actual interview. It's also like the managing editor part of that, like how you guys got everybody together and then got them to commit. Because you got some people hadn't seen each other, right?
Yeah.
And then you got people that who are aloof and people who have, or the opposite side, the people who have really tight schedules. I can't imagine like.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And again, like we
almost
had a lot
didn't
of,
happen.
We had a lot of friends who were like, hey, you should do it this way. You should
like,
do it this way.
Moment.
Yeah. Like Phil was there. Like. About 15 minutes before we were supposed to be on stage, NYPD was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
So, like, it almost, like, just did not happen.
Yeah. We literally snuck Jim Jones into the venue and made that happen. But it was a crazy thing, but I think that, you know, I think we did something different, and I'm totally in favor of people pushing the limits and doing different types of interviews in different types of venues that can ultimately matter and last forever, you know?
Yeah, and artists turn off when they think the content's not going to be good. And
for
so,
sure.
To say something positive, actually, I thought of something positive to say, which is that I think Genius's franchise Verified has been better than ever this year. They're getting stuff really early, and artists love doing that because it's not a traditional, like, talk about yourself thing. It's a really... you know, the idea that, like, actually finite structure can really enable creativity and make people good, I think is very true. And, yeah, I think that series has been excellent. And in general, Genius is doing really cool stuff by focusing on one thing, which is just, like, let's only talk about songs.
I love the Deconstructed series that they do with all the producers, because that's, like, Scratch Magazine, like, for 2017. Yeah. Like,
what's crazy.
It's so, super dope.
It's super crazy that, like... It exists and it's like rare, but because everyone else has just been doing the headlines or the gossip, and then it's a matter of who are they going to get to first.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're racing morning radio, or you're racing who has the means to produce a video the quickest, or who's going to take that snippet out and then put the rest of the interview you don't even care about.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're focusing on the music, which is like what you used to see in print zines or like somewhere else, and like that shit, it's so in front of your nose that it should be the thing that's oversaturated, and it's not. It's like it's rare.
Can I give my annual reminder about journalism also? That just like my annual speech to publicists to like
to hit you up?
No, like no. Like I what Naomi was talking about, it was like there is. Well, I do think it's good that we a lot of our, you know, like something like the Jay-Z interview, like it was open and honest, but just like. All like still very much the subject was kind of in control of the entire product. Like I think a scary thing for all forms of journalism is like this world where like the teams and the publicists like refuse to let their people get any type of like critique, you know, like you only put them, it's like that scary world of access journalism where it's like artists in their camps like almost feel like they're doing you a favor by letting you sit down and speak to them.
PR.
And it's just it becomes PR, and like, you know, I think every year it's like it's good to find ways to like you want to hear from these people, so a lot of times you just get whatever you can take.
Yo,
but it's.
I mean, like, do you think that's going to shut down even more with shit like the John Oliver, Dustin Hoffman kind of thing, like with publicists feeling like, oh shit, like my client's going to get ambushed no matter what?
I mean, I think I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what direction it goes. Like, I do come from a place where I understand that press is inherently risky.
Yeah.
Like, you like so like I understand that. I also think that. There is a line that between like being critiqued and being like unfairly roasted, you know, like I think there is a world, it's just called open, honest critiques. And I think like the thing that I like, the pieces that I've like, the reason I loved like Rawia on Cardi is because like I felt like I got to know her more in that piece than anything that was like super super controlled. It was like you let this person in. Yeah, it was a stranger. Like, no, it wasn't like co-executive produced by you. Like, but that's what you get when you like let someone, let the right people in. You know?
And fundamentally,
that's also like Cardi is a very different artist than most people. Like, she's somebody who is comfortable with letting in, you know, whoever to her personal space or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to get that with name any artist.
Well, and that's like real human strength, actually. And just like whether you're famous or not, whether you're the subject of press or not, like, you know, somebody else who loves you might tell you something about yourself that's more true than something you might say about yourself. And like, and you know, like when you're an artist and your art is great, actually, like, you deserve truth. Like, you deserve to be honored with a true and dynamic story. So
Was the Mary H.K. Choi piece on Rihanna, that was under your watch?
Yes, that was a Naomi and Mary joint.
When when Mary had to write sort of around Rihanna, right?
Yeah.
Shout out HK.
Yeah,
she's sick with it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what was that conversation like on your end?
What, me and Mary?
No, you and like figuring out
Team Rihanna.
Yeah, Team Rihanna.
Gabe, whoever.
Not Gabe. No. It was shitty because they you know, it's shitty anytime somebody tells you they're gonna do something and don't do it. But you know, like, I respect Rihanna very much, and
thanks, Gabe.
I actually think I would say you know, this is not about 2017, guys, but I think on that one there was like a lot of strife, but ultimately when she showed up, you know, there was like a lot of expectations and red tape, but when she showed up and we did a photo shoot, like, she was lovely. And I've had other situations with artists where everything is cool, everybody is homies, and then day of, people show up and have a tantrum and everything falls apart. So I would actually say I would much rather the Rihanna approach. And you know, I didn't get everything I wanted, but in the end I felt, you know, not disrespected, and I think that's important.
Speaking of another great interview with HK, how she like bodied the Hillsong guy on Vice.
Oh, I didn't see
I did love that.
That was awesome. You got to check that out.
I will.
Good seg. That's a great segue into best rap album.
So can we move on from the journalism critique portion?
Or best rap best church. Rap. Yeah, best rap album. I said Culture by Migos because I'm predictable.
Diani?
mine was Damn. Kendrick Lamar, Damn. Flawlessly for me, it was flawlessly flawless. Like, I loved everything. It opened the door for me with learning about the black male psyche. It really helped me with knowing the range of Kendrick Lamar's talent, period. Because I always, you know, I'm a big Kendrick fan. I mean, everybody is. But I didn't think that this was possible. Like, Damn was possible. Damn is my favorite out of everything. I'm not saying it is his best. I'm saying it is the favorite of mine. So I think, you know, it's vulnerable. And, you know, I'm not going to get all black and shit like that, but I'm just saying, you know.
Feel free. It's fine.
You know, but to see black men get vulnerable just like 444, it's an amazing thing to see. And it's something that you don't see enough. So to see that, you know, vulnerability, and you can feel the weight of his just everything that he's going through in the albums, and I loved it about that. I loved that album.
What's your most re-listenable track?
Fear.
Same.
Fear.
Yeah, I'm the same with the album and same with the song. Fear was like, you know, it's crazy. It was like super black. I went to the National African American History Museum. And the album had just dropped, so I was there with like my family, and then on the ride back I'm playing it. My mom's like, "Yo, what the fuck is this?" She just hears profanity, and so she can't handle it. But my dad's in the back rocking with it. We get to Fear, and it's the part where he's talking about like being fearful of his parents, of his mom, being fearful of you know, losing his life, and being fearful of success. I don't really have the losing my life part, but I have, like, it's just so relatable for me in other aspects. And, like, sonically, he did some new shit. Like, some of those sounds don't exist in rap. Like, some of them. I was fortunate enough to, like, talk to his A&R, Brock, and he broke down some of the stuff that they did, and he's like, we played stuff backwards. And I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, we just thought it was cool. Yep. You know, so, like, it wasn't, it's the right amount of deep and also right amount of, like, indistinguishable, and some of the shit just sounds cool. And he's done so much legwork prior that you're looking for depth, and it, even if you can't find it, it still makes you look. And I think artists always, I look for artists sometimes to run into the album or the body of work that allows them, that frees them. And when he did To Pimp a Butterfly, I thought it was going to constrain him. I was like, oh, damn, he's on this path. That's how I think as a fan. I'm not the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him open it up and, like, again, push the walls out, mm-hmm. he can do whatever he wants next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you want from albums. I think that way about Frank Ocean's Blonde. I think that way Beyonce's run into that, like, two or three times in her mm-hmm. career. You want that album to let you do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
This right. was that. And, like, he looks cooler now. You know what I mean? His raps are, like, more repeatable songs that you shouldn't be rap, like, shouldn't be in the club or in the club.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, like, pop joints that land on the radio. And this is after To Pimp a Butterfly,
and it also yeah. it I also confirmed yeah it confirmed to me how great of a storyteller he is. Mm. Because I know he was I know he's good, he's a good storyteller, but this, from track to track to track, I went through at how great his storytelling is. You know what I'm saying? Good Kid, Mad City is a story. It's a book. It's amazing. But this one, you know, I had learned a lot, especially about being a Black Israelite. And, you know, his, I had to look more into that and read more, because a lot of kids don't know about that. A lot of people don't know about Black Israelites and how he doesn't want to be called Black anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's a color. Shit like that. Like, his also, lyrics were.
There's, like, also things where, like, To Pimp a Butterfly, there's, like, a lot of falsities in that shit. Like, it's like, factually incorrect, right? And, like, people don't care to look into it. But, like, I like how he's just wrong about some shit, and it's cool because that's just his, like, his truth. And, like,
it's
like, he's not, with that many eyes on you, I think sometimes you try to be perfect, right? You try to make sure everything you say is, like, correct, or it kind of, it softens your blow sometimes.
Mm.
He's willing to step and go hard in this direction, even in, like, the support he offers to people, and be like, yo, I think you're bugging, but you don't really care. And that's not always good, but I think with artists that treats his craft as responsibly as he does, and his person as responsibly as he does, and his art that way, I think he'll be fine.
And you saw him perform live?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Live, it's his best live show. I've seen him live a couple of times. I remember early in his career, I wasn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I wasn't. Like,
I wasn't either. Yeah.
I thought he was amazing live early on.
I saw him in small venues.
I saw him at SOBs.
I was a new fan. I was a commercial fan. I wasn't with the fans of Section 80. And
overly dedicated.
His stage, and he's also not trying to do things like, he's doing things he's never done, but he's not doing anything out of character either. Like,
yo, can someone explain the Kung Fu Kenny shit to me, though?
That's the thing. Is like, I don't think that through thread is as deep as people think it is. Mm-mm. I think it's a whole bunch of dudes that like fucking Rush Hour 2 saying it, and they just ran with it. Because I remember thinking, like, oh, what's the meaning of this? I just think they liked it. And I think that that's fair. Like, art, it doesn't have to be that well thought out and that connected, especially in today's where we're all just putting 20 ideas together and going anyway. Mm-hmm. I think he just thought that shit was cool. They were like, Kung Fu Kenny. It made sense. It's a Compton story according to the movie, and they ran with it like it's real.
Which mm-hmm. is kind of relatable. Like, I feel like we often try to, like, go super binary with our artists, where it's like you're either, like, a carefree, fun person, or, like, the always deep person. And it's like, you can just be both. You know, yeah. you can go back and forth. Like, not everything has to have 100 meanings. Some things can, you know.
Well, explain genius.com to me.
It's great with the Spotify app.
Apple Music.
Yo, it took me so long to realize I could just swipe up to see my album art again.
I did not know you could do that.
Yeah, you could swipe it up and take it all away.
Huh.
Yeah, that's my album too. I mean, I love the fact that I am the exact same age as him and feel like same. He puts out albums exactly when I need them.
Mm. Yep.
Like, 2017 was like a year of like self-realization about, like, depression and anxiety and stuff, and that shit came out, and I was like, okay, like, not the only one, you know, that type of thing. So, mm-hmm. like, I his albums have always come out at like
critical juncture.
Like in my like that's how I used to feel when I was like in my 20s. That's how I used to feel about Kanye albums.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like that I'm older, I feel that way about Kendrick albums. Like they come out, they come out when I really need to feel like I'm having a conversation or like listening to someone's inner monologue. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
And about him being like strong and wrong, because I think, you know, people forget that these artists are human and they're allowed to be strong and wrong. And if they want to stand in their wrong, they can stand in their wrong.
Yeah, it's not like you're trying to run the country.
Right. Just, yes, please. But that's what I also liked about him, too, is that some of the shit was completely wrong. But some people think this way. The way that he thinks is the way of many. You know what I'm saying? So I really appreciated him being human and also getting people to love their blackness. With DNA, I was very happy with how, you know, people started to embrace their blackness of mm-hmm. being black. And, you know, there's flaws too, because he named those two, but, you know, with also embracing it and loving it. And I loved everything about it. So yes, that's it.
I'm gonna come in with the rest of the pack. Playboi Carti album is incredible. Like, I actually think in some ways he had like the highest beginning of the year, and then kind of like, where's he at right now? But mm-hmm. and like, but if he literally like, you know, never made another piece of music again,
he got shouted out by Jay-Z.
He won. Like, yeah, that's crazy. That was
yeah,
that was crazy.
What did you like about it? Because like,
it's like an ambient album. That album is just like, you know, a weird piece of electronic music basically, and it's really quick, and it's really, you know, like I don't have feelings for him as an artist. I don't feel connected to him.
Do you think that he even wants to be a rapper?
No.
No, like, you can answer too.
No, I think he wants to like be out here, you know, and I think a lot of people in yeah, but I don't think I'm talking about that. I'm just saying is he made a good piece of music.
Yeah.
I think Greedo 03 Greedo from LA released two really incredible albums this year. Specifically the Purple Summer one is probably the one for me. I pulled up my other thing. But yeah, also Meek had a really good album. I think probably one of his better albums ever.
Agreed.
And kind of it came out like I think the same week as the Thug album. I was like really surprised to enjoy the Meek as much as I did, and I've sort of like returned to it. And I also like on a personal, what was my favorite or what did I listen to the most? I listened to the Lil Baby tape Harder Than Hard quite a bit. And I think it's like, you know, I'm here for Lil Baby, like I'm here for QC for life. And I'm pretty excited about him and psyched, but like I also think it was just sort of like a 2011 Future cosplay to some extent. And you know, 1987 Gang out here, just like that really does it for me personally. So I really enjoyed that and kind of excited to see what they're gonna like. Yeah, and best new artist, I don't know.
I had two. I really like Vince's Big Fish Theory. That shit sounded like on some ambient sci-fi shit, like really out there. And you know, there were a lot of good pieces I think this year generally in literature about like taking like especially with shit like Blade Runner and stuff coming out, like taking sci-fi out of white people's hands and stuff. Like the narrative of dystopia is always crafted by the majority, and so a record like Big Fish Theory really felt like it was destabilizing a lot of that. And then speaking of destabilization, I like how a lot of artists internationally stopped looking to the States as for validation. And we're just like, fuck it, we're going to do it on our own terms. And, you know, it's fine if we succeed here. And it's the crossover thing doesn't need to happen anymore. So Jay Huss's Common Sense was so good.
Yeah.
I thought like, you know, had there been an infrastructure around him that worked the record better in the States and understood, you know, that transatlantic connection better, that could have been way bigger here than it was.
That was really good.
There's no reason other than that it wasn't.
I'm like, I feel like I stand for Jay Huss so hard and put him on the cover of the Vader like before that album dropped. But I was actually disappointed by that record.
Really?
It's bad. It's incredible. He's the most talented person. J5, that producer, is like
For sure.
The craziest. But I think my expectations were so unreasonably high that.
And also he was putting out singles in a way that made it like, I think people like created a narrative for what that album was going to sound like before he had a chance to really drop it. And then I agree. And for me, it was a little long, but I don't know. I really liked, and even in like, I'll say this in R&B later too, but like I just really enjoyed how people, like having lived abroad for so long, it was really tight to see artists from outside of the States stop looking to the U.S. for like, hey, this means I made it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when you're talking about Kendrick, you want the album that you can do whatever you want after. I think J.S. made the album where we're down to hear more albums from him.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think that's a great, like when you're at that stage and you're so young and you're an international artist, when we're talking about America being the mainstream market, the main market, like, yeah, it's like I liked it. He did a lot of shit that I think no one here is doing, and I think that he set himself up where people were like, yo, I want to hear more from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that then he opened a door for Kojo Funds and mm-hmm. Notes, yeah. And, you know, young. Yeah, Lotto Boys, like, all those people are going to walk straight through that huge door.
For yeah, sure. I would have to say that there's one more person then that I can add, J.I.D., The Never
yeah.
Story.
Yeah.
Sure. That album. I mean, I don't even know if it's considered an album. I don't know if it's called an EP. I don't know what the fuck it's called anymore.
Who knows anymore?
A right. Classic.
But I fucking love that album. And I think, you know, that's the kid that I think I'm putting money on. Mm. Like, I'm putting money on his head. I want to see him succeed.
That whole album felt like, I described it as like some dude like in a fucking like old Cadillac, gunning it after a heist, shooting out the window while trying to hold the steering wheel. And then there's points where he stops and he's just like sauntering through it, and he has like softer records, but just an element where people are like, yo, real rap doesn't, like, that's not a real argument anymore, but, or maybe it never was, but he really fucking rapped. And again, there's some beats like I've never heard before. You're under a label that's like, you know, remotely impressive, and you Very. Did your own thing. Like, he jumped past a lot of people.
Yes.
And yeah. And also, when he appeared places, like when he was doing like interviews at he did Hot 97, I think he did something with Genius. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have this theory, like when you get to the end zone, act like you've been there before. It mm-hmm. looks like he's played before. Like, he's here, he's not shook, he's not over talking himself and like speaking about, like, you know, guys that fake deep. He's just like, yeah, man, like, this is me. I'm just a little dude from Atlanta that
very talented.
I want to rap.
Very talented.
And very talented.
As a former football player, before. He has been to the end zone before.
Did he used to play football?
Yeah.
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 All right. Well,
also,
he started making music because he had an injury, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
correct.
What
yeah.
size I didn't is he? Know that. Where is that at?
He played football.
Listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't even know. Wow.
Before we get to the next thing, I just want to say my album of the year is 2 Chainz' Pretty Girls Like Trap Music, because I love 2 Chainz and I like how.
Rolls Royce, bitch.
I just love how he keeps making good music and pushing his own boundaries.
Also, best marketing campaign for a rap album, probably
100%.
Ever.
100%.
Yeah. In the history
Goddamn
of all time.
Sure.
Yes.
Is it too late to Hands go to that down. Pink house?
It's open right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Trap Wonderland.
It, yeah.
Right now?
No,
you guys want to go?
Yeah, they have it back open for kids, like mm-hmm. families.
They
making gingerbread houses.
A couple different things, right?
Also, it's incredible.
The yeah. wheelchair, everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Georgia, still got it.
Yeah.
Bong, bong.
Still got it, guys.
Favorite R&B album?
Let's all say it together. It was
Tyler.
I want to go. I know,
because that's my.
Mine is. Mine
I don't
is,
think we actually have the same. I don't think everyone has.
Mine
the same
is Sonder. That EP that they had. SZA's shit is fucking incredible. Like, her shit is like, it's foolish the way she put that together. Like, I don't even understand how she did that. And I like that we had the way for it, but Sonder's shit popped up out of nowhere to me.
Sonder's shit was.
It taps. It just selfishly. It taps into the era that I like. Like, it's like. Like, you know, Genuine-esque. It's like Jodeci.
And also to stand out, but also to stand out in that same template. Like, a lot of people are following that pseudo anonymous R&B template.
But they pulled the right things from it. Like, definitely. they pulled the older elements and like sonics, but they also made it like contemporary R&B. And then they did the right amount of mystery, the right amount of internet, the right amount of like you linked up with a production duo. Like, it's super strong and. I've never listened to that one way. I've always listened to it multiple times each time I listen to
and
it.
And Brent Faiyaz really came out also on Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Sonder is Brent Faiyaz. Brent Faiyaz had amazing EP.
Are you reading off a Rem's receipt?
No.
But also, this kid couldn't put, like, he was trying to put stuff together for years. Like, he had, like, Allure. He had a couple other joints. And this is from, like, 2013, 2014. He's, like, literally emailing himself. Mm. And you wonder what happens to these people. I was going through an old SoundCloud list that I had, trying to put together a new playlist. And I was like, oh, what's this kid up to? I haven't seen him. And I wasn't aware of what was taking place last year besides Crew. I Googled him, and Sonder had been out for 2 days. And I was like, all right, let me press play. And that's how I felt about JID. That's such a good feeling when, mm-hmm. before it's hit the blogs, or maybe it has, and I just mm-hmm. haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you've discovered it, and you just want it, you want everybody to know
stand
about it. You
behind
wanna,
it all the way.
Yeah, you're going to screen grab the cover art. You're going to fucking tweet it. And it wasn't one of those things where I, like, it took people places, you know? Like, I think that R&B has got to this weird, like, ambient stage now where it's, like, it sometimes lacks it, and we look for a lot of people. Like, we want Party Next Door to jump. He kind of has it. This kid pops up, and it looks like he's ready to take it.
You know? Everyone talks about Craig David back every year.
I'll fight anybody who wants to talk shit about Party Next Door.
this kid slid in there, and he's set up.
Naomi left.
He's set up.
Naomi's not here anymore. She's
left. He's set up to have a better 2018 than a lot of people, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. SZA's album's amazing.
It's amazing.
Tenji at RCA, who worked on that project. Is very talented also.
Yeah.
Or brought, like, you know, whether, yeah. And also, I think Ty Dolla $ign had one of the best albums of his career.
Yeah, agreed. I agree.
And I would actually call it a rap album, but I think it's, you know, let's call it an art.
Yeah, slept on it until today.
So good.
Best, yeah. Like, and I slept
it's
on it until
wildly
today.
Fantastic.
It's so good.
What an end of the year present for you.
Yeah.
Deani.
I'm going to say, well, SZA. Yes, hands down, feet down. Everybody knows. 10 tones down. It's good. Daniel Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That fucking album, I think it was a surprise to me when I heard his, you know, Get You. I was like, this is good. This is good stuff. I like it. And when I heard the album and the Kirk Franklin shit and
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Rem left. Rem jumped out the window.
I almost threw my phone. Like, there was times where I was like, wow. And the writing was good. His pen was good. Like, SZA's pen is amazing too. Remarkable. Amazing. Yeah. Yes. Great. Daniel Caesar's too is, I just was shocked. I think that one just shocked me. You know, best part with her, crazy to me. And some of the lyrics, I literally had to sit down and like read the album through, because I was like, this man is really talking about love.
And he's
and it's hard to do, because that's something that's slept on a lot now. We don't talk about love. That man was, I mean, it might have been infatuation,
yeah, people
whatever.
Proposing
it was
at the show.
But it was, yeah. Yes, people proposing at his show.
In the same token, it's also like prior to it's been talked about so much that you either think you got it or that. How many other ways can you discuss it, right? And he found new ways. Like, that shit
right,
maybe
saying,
like,
that's a different way of discussing love. I mean, in my opinion, for me, I haven't heard anybody speak about love the way Daniel Caesar or SZA does.
Wow.
So, yeah. You know, SZA talked about other things too, I mean, that are hitting women every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit that's just mind-boggling that you're like, why the fuck does this nigga, like, a bunch of shit that should be in songs that aren't in songs.
Andy was quick, like, when him, when him and Chance did Colbert, that came together in, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that shit's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's
right.
Incredible.
Daniel, and then when I seen him in concert, you know, I was expecting to be, I was like, what if he's not that good? I'm going to be sad.
And then you propose to somebody.
Right.
Yeah, and like, now we have a special announcement.
Right.
We
married. But no, the dude was good and great. Like, I enjoyed myself. I had a great time. And he
turned to your left and proposed.
And everything was good. It just was it was great. And I'm tired of using vibe. Like, vibe is not a thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that album for me was, like, somewhat perfect.
Mm. I think the perfect. Stakes are higher when you perform, when you're performing R&B. Like, rap. Because you can get away with a lot. I think R&B, it's like, I remember
there's
early Frank Ocean where I was like, oh, man. And then seeing him now, I was like, oh, shit.
I need to see him again.
Seeing Brent, I can still see where he has some room to go, but it's like Daniel Caesar.
And SZA.
If I can watch YouTube videos and still feel something, I'm like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
SZA, when we brought up SZA, I was like, damn, maybe I should change my album, because I started thinking about how you were describing Kendrick. SZA, like, I listened to the album mad times, and then one day I hear actually hear Supermodel, and I was like, oh my God.
And then you fixed yourself.
No, I was like, either I'm going to tell more lies or I'm going to apologize to people. Like, but Supermodel, it tapped into some, it tapped into a lot of areas that it's not, she's not inventing a feeling.
No.
She's channeling feelings that are off, that aren't discussed and in the right platform. Cause it's not that they're not, maybe we're not hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And she made it palatable. And she presented it. It was charming as fuck. It felt really honest. And I know she worked a long time on that project. That can sometimes fuck you up. Like, she, that.
You don't know when to stop. You just like, I gotta work on this thing.
And even the songs that are like, you feel like are, everything that was, had weight to it didn't feel heavy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're like, oh man, you're about to hit me with that shit. This was like, you still snuck in really honest emotions that I'm singing along to, and so now I hear what you're saying because I'm saying it out my mouth, and I'm like, damn, I've never said this out my mouth before. Maybe I should text you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like that shit was. It was really, really. That, I think I'm changing my album. That,
yeah, I might. Now you made me change my album.
It's just like 100, like you said, 10 toes down. Like it's like there's like, nothing on that record that wasn't executed in the way that they wanted to execute it, and that isn't flawless. And I think like I love Daniel Caesar Project too. Mm-hmm. Like I love Ty Dolla $ign, but like, you know, I wouldn't say those are 100% projects. And I don't really care about a project being 100% most of the time. I just like think that she
and
did
it's
a really
good to
good
have
job.
An album to speak for you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't, you know. Back, I'm not taking it to high school, but like back in high school, it reminded me of like if I got mad at somebody and I would be like, I need to tell you how I feel, but through song, it would be SZA. It would be all of SZA. So
the whole album.
So
yeah, here's homework.
From especially Supermodel. I've never in my life, like when I first heard it, and then I seen the video, and it was beautiful to me because it's black. And, you know, it's a black girl magic and also just not feeling like you're enough. You know what I'm saying? That shit was amazing.
When she what said, men did you send it to? Positive because she got a big booty. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. I'm like, y'all think that too? Like, oh, like it was cool to watch. Sometimes you have these conversations that I think are really contained. Same way we feel about Bodak Yellow. Like, it's great to see these moments. Like, dudes don't know that they like to see women wild out until they see it. Then they're like, oh, shit. Now everyone's in it, right? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes hearing records like that, sometimes it's like, yo, you go to watch SZA and just watch everybody else's face. Like, you'll watch how, like, they vibe with a record. And then you realize you got to catch up and there's a space that you don't get. And I felt that way about that record. And I remember I was just in my apartment. I heard Supermodel. I was like, what did she say? I've heard this shit 20, 30 times. And then really heard it and was like, oh. Like,
I forget what joint she does it on, but she also has that like that gift Andre 3000 has where she can just describe her surroundings and just like mundane shit that's happening in an incredibly fucking she's like watching TV or whatever.
Andre does this thing where he walks you, I would say, what makes him the best writer is that he talks to you eye level, and then he gives you about 60-70% of it, and then you complete the other 30, and so you feel more ownership over it. Exactly. He's the best writer. He's
on the Devin the Dude joint. What
a
job.
It's shit like that.
Describing like walking to the studio and he meets a couple and he asks them what to write about.
Yeah. And the rest of it you're filling in.
Exactly. SZA does that really well too.
And but to give everybody just enough so that we can all fill in the same thing is I don't even understand how you do that as a writer. Like to give everybody the same amount of percentage and we all kind of arrive somewhere at the same 20% that we're filling in. That's just knowing people or knowing yourself so well or knowing that common thread that everybody, I don't know.
Also taking your time with it.
Yeah.
Just taking your time with it to like think about really like what are the details that matter at the end. And sometimes it is weirdly like the most mundane shit. But, you know, I think that's really just a product of letting the shit cook for as long as you need to.
Yeah.
Shout out to TDE.
Just yeah, like Rem said, like with Kendrick Lamar and he was talking about when, you know, anxiety, depression and all that stuff. That's what SZA had, you know, done for me because I was like, wow, I thought I was the only person that felt that way. But she definitely had a lot of people, like my friends and me, we are excited to go see SZA this weekend. Like, I don't, everybody's going in different times, but to sing along with her in pain is, I mean, in joy too, but more so in pain.
Yeah.
About shit that, you know, women are going through is amazing.
Also, another album, she can do whatever she wants after this. Like, like, it was a really strong swing. Like, she can do what she wants after this.
I debated mine for a long time, and it really was between SZA and everyone else. But I really like Kalela's record. And to me, I mean, that's just because I'm like a huge fan of like Nutty Professor 2 soundtrack Janet. Yes. Like Ibo era Janet.
It's great.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, if you watch that music video when we were in junior high or whatever, Kalela was like living in that same like future city somewhere. Mm. And like, really, like, I mean, for me, like, this year especially, if I look back at what I was listening to, it was a lot more electronic music. And she got, like, the murderer's row for production for producer partners and co-writer partners. It's like Bok Bok, the XX is on there, Jam City's on there, Arca's on there. And, like, she really synthesized all these songs into something. Again, like, the Vince Staples joint felt like a vision of the future. And we talked about growth a little bit. Like, I saw her perform at MoMA a couple years ago, and it was shaky. But with this new record, I feel like she's really come into her own. And like, just like Jinx said, it's like, you know, demonstrating the possibilities for where things can go, and like the road is really open for her. So that was really ill. And then the other thing, just to piggyback off my rap album thing about how like artists are no longer looking to the States for validation, Naomi actually put me onto this one, the Ozuna record. Odisea is like fucking crazy. And like, you know, I think that counts as R&B, especially in a time where like American music is cribbing so hard off of sounds from like literally everywhere south of the equator. So, you know, like Se Preparo is a big single, but like Pide Lo Que Tu Quieras is like a massive record, and like
I think
it's
that's
really
actually my favorite song of the year.
Yeah, it's just wild. Like you listen to that album and it's like, holy shit, this is a fucking bananas R&B record. And it just is the success is happening like with no real care for like U.S. validation. And I think that's a really, really good thing for globalization in a time where like this shit is getting more and more closed off.
Ram?
I mean, my like the SZA record was so like coming off of a year with both Rihanna and Solange, like I just like didn't think it would get better. And like, but like those three projects are all so different, but like all like for me are just like signs of like
it's a trinity
in the right direction. Like, and it's like, and like for me SZA like it's like Mary J, like and just like kind of what she represents right now. Like Mary J just like really like having an island to herself, I think, just like culturally and musically, and like the pain part, but also like when you like when you see Mary J. Blige perform live, it's like every single person there is like just trying to get through that whole show with Mary, like trying to help Mary get to the end of the show. Because like I feel that way when I listen to that record, when I see that record, and the way I see women, like, you know, like I think we were talking about Cardi, like this is like SZA's another person that you rooted for this year, like someone that you never someone who had like existed so almost permanently in the background that you just kind of like not forgot that she was around, but just like just didn't like
you kind
like,
of place a ceiling on where
yeah you
think
just like
she might
like
be.
There was no it wasn't in it like there wasn't it wasn't anything on her, it was just like you just never knew if she was gonna get the look
right
to prove herself, you know. And it was just amazing to watch that. I think I was half joking, but like I loved Tyler's album, and I listened to it like an R&B record more than a rap record.
Same.
Like
for
like,
sure.
And like it was like when like I would listen to it when I was like cleaning the house or something like that. Like I like R&B more than rap. I always have, always will. And it just like occupied a space for me that was like it was like really like there was a theme to it. Like there was like it actually it seemed like it had a plan. It wasn't just like the first 14 songs that like were hot enough to put on there. Like it wasn't perfect, but I thought it was like at points like very beautiful. And so yeah, it's just like I often think that like that's an album that can very very easily just like get forgotten about. But I loved it.
In that same vein, I want to just shout out
Cookie break.
Yeah. In that cookie same break. Vein, I want to shout out No ID and what he did with R&B on that 444 album. So,
yo, the beat to 444, like I could climb Everest to that beat. Like it is the wildest thing I've ever heard. I don't know what it is.
Mm. And I'm
from the year 3000 or something. I don't know what it is.
The thing. Like, I thought I'd heard versions, all different versions of those samples. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, oh God, like, I hope, you know, I don't, this is not like another whatever or another this. I've never heard Stevie Wonder, like, I've never heard certain shit, samples like that before, and I was like, this nigga No ID is insane.
Also, you monster, he's like, but disrespectful.
So disrespectful, and I'm big on soul music, so like,
it's also wealthy everything. Music.
Everything yeah. on there.
Lush. Yeah, like you it just is. Wouldn't hear those samples because no one could clear them.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shit. Yeah.
Like, no bullshit. It's like, yeah, this is like Jeff Koons.
Like, I bought Stevie Wonder.
There's a reason he had the fucking balloon dog on the stage. It's right. Like, yeah. There's a huge too. Parallel.
He can afford it. Yeah.
Jeff Koons isn't making the balloon dog.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about 440.
Wait, did you say balloon, comma dog, or
as best rap
balloon dog?
I'm a balloon dog.
Nobody picked it. We should probably acknowledge it, though.
Jay-Z made an album this year called 440.
Thank you.
The receipt says.
Yeah.
They're gonna. All
right. A Waste of Time with It's The Real's 12 Days of Podcast is sponsored by the good folks at Def Jam Recordings, who are dropping nothing but heat this holiday season. Jeff, I want to talk about this new Jeezy album, Pressure, which is available tomorrow, Friday, December 15th. I hope that everyone got a chance to see and hear Jeezy on Everyday Struggle the other day, because he was telling truth after truth after truth, and it shows you what a difference there is with artists who live it versus those who just rap about it. Snowman is a fucking legend. But again, if you don't back it up with the music, then what are we listening to, right? And that is exactly what makes Jeezy special. His music means something, and it goes. We can tell you that from personal experience, because we were at Jeezy's listening party the other night at Avenue here in New York City and heard the project in its entirety. We heard the 2 Chainz feature, the Ross feature, the WizKid feature, the T Grizzly feature, the Payroll feature, and you best believe we heard American Dream featuring J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar. This album is a monster in the club, and it's a monster in the headphones. Let's all support a legend like Jeezy who stays making high quality albums. Let's all support a legend like Jeezy who stays inspiring his community and beyond. Let's all support a legend like Jeezy who lives what he says in his rhymes. Head to JeezyShop.com right now for exclusive album and merch bundles, and make sure to pre-order today on iTunes, on Google Play, on Amazon, or wherever you get your music, and let's send Jeezy to the top of the charts. Snow fucking go.
What's next?
Worst hook.
I wouldn't know, because anytime something said featuring G-Eazy, I just didn't listen to it.
I was looking for the eject button on the couch. Shoot through the ceiling right now.
Wait, I have one.
I have one too.
Or anything
too,
off of like Eminem's Replenishment or whatever the album is.
Replenishment. Yes, that would be the worst.
Resplendent. What is it?
Beard Eminem, Resplendent.
No, the shit on Beyonce.
The worst hook is XXXTentacion, Look At Me.
Oh my God. Mm.
It's the worst hook.
Wow.
Also, worst person.
Yeah.
Yep.
I found some song called New Illuminati off that Hendrix album, and it is the worst hook. It is.
You went like truffle hunting.
I did.
I actually also have to say that I think Logic's performance at the VMAs was very powerful. I actually like I'm here for that song. I'm not mad. But when I first heard that song on the radio, and thinking about just the way that rap music is censored and the conversations I have working for a corporation when we talk about rap music sometimes, and just that I'm listening to pop radio and there's a kid being like, I want to die. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah. Sometimes when I like want to make myself laugh, I'll just like like go into a field and just be like, who can relate? Just scream it as loud as
no, but I do think that song resonated with a lot of people, and I don't want to, like, you know, there's a lot of ways to talk about
it. I want
to
take away from it.
All of them are important. But the first time I heard that song on the radio,
but Rembert just jumped out
was
the window.
I was shocked, and I wanted, you know, I felt it was weird. Oh,
that who can relate? I cannot handle it. Like I can't handle that part.
Stella,
so like it sounds like something from Hamilton. Like, who can relate?
I'm saying it's a musical.
Oh my God! I've been waiting to talk about
theater
this all
kid. Theater kid.
I haven't had
kid
anyone
rap.
To talk to about this. Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Wow, we didn't take a cookie break when everyone was laughing.
I couldn't think of, like, my mind doesn't even work that way. Like, I wasn't like, oh man, let me search out the shit I hate.
Like, first thing I thought about.
That's all I do every day.
I can't even,
what do I hate today? Wait, let me seek it out.
I have a real another one though.
Yes.
This is like the one this is my whole.
Is it out
on your list?
Is it out Resplendent?
No. So I don't like the way Kendrick says sexy on Element.
Ooh.
Like, sick. I don't like it.
Sexy.
I don't like sexy. It. Sexy. I love that song so much. I don't
except
like
it. He does
that
across the album. Yeah, that's how he says it across the album.
I don't like it.
That's just how he says it.
There were moments like that I was
don't
like, I wouldn't do that, but, you know, I'm not.
Maybe not me, yeah, but not for you.
The best rapper out right now, so yeah.
Like a virgin. Like, it sounds like someone's never had sex.
Can I have that combo? I don't know.
That part.
I'm
going to
table that part.
Yeah.
My least favorite is Motorsport. Put that thing in sport.
Naomi's just doing the rest of the pod, but like through pantomime.
Yeah.
I think that single is incredibly disappointing.
Gasoline.
Yeah. Agreed. It is
that one line that Rem just did.
Like it's only
you know,
that
like
the
Offset porn line.
I don't know.
The what?
I turned Offset on. Told Sam the other day we should sell that porn line.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
There you go. All right.
Why not?
I would also say sport. This is not a true hook, but I hate the Joyner Lucas I'm not racist hook.
I don't really understand what's going on.
I never clicked it. I don't know what it is.
Oh, please click it. Please click it.
I never clicked it.
I didn't click it, and then I saw the Everyday Struggle interview, and I'm like, well, all right. There's things where I get to the point where, like, if I don't want to participate, I'm at a point where I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Nice,
and
right?
I was, yeah, well, you know, like, I was like, what's going on? You know, like, what's his
beef? Who can relate?
And then I said, he has beef with Logic or something.
Oh,
This is 30. You just don't click.
And I just, like, and I was like, you know what? Like,
it's an off Broadway musical.
I'm a pass. Like, just your whole, the startup. I'm not racist. God. Like,
where'd that guy come from?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Joyner Lucas has been rapping.
He's
for
on
an time.
Yeah, he's on Atlantic Records.
I haven't.
Yeah,
I'm not tapped in.
He's good and he's very talented as far as lyrics are concerned.
I've heard.
but
tell
like,
word
did you hear
it.
Gucci Gang the remix?
Are we being like admonished right now?
Okay.
Come on,
no,
definitely not.
No.
I just heard Gucci Gang. That was
right,
enough.
Right. But he's talking about like pill popping and how trash it is and fiend rappers and shit like that, which I kind of like.
Is that his thing? Like he's like a righteous
ridicule.
Guy?
Like, yeah. No, I think
is he like
is this
sort of
bad,
us?
Though?
No, the video is
I think so
bad.
Okay,
but it's I see where he was trying what he was trying to do.
It's like when Brad Paisley and LL Cool J
he was trying to create
races.
A conversation.
Hell yeah,
between
well,
that's
exactly
white
what it was.
Black.
But I don't like I
here's
don't
the
like
minus
rap
the plane
that comes with like
right
like I don't like rap that's like so contrived to the point where you're like oh you did this for this.
Right,
know.
But some
you
of it,
you don't
all
like
of it,
immoral
wait,
at the
most
end?
Of it, like the black, did you hear the black verse? The black
again,
verse?
I'm
right,
from
the
a
black
distance.
Boy verse was just not factual. Like, it just, with no facts.
He seems
it
like just, Russ
none
that
of
can
it
win
was
a
factual.
Fight.
But when he was talking in a white voice and doing like the white voice and white perspective of how white people feel about black
was
people.
Was it a white voice? Like, was he wildly offensive?
No. Well, he was wildly disrespectful as far as talking about black people
right.
and black culture.
Which I want to talk about.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is okay. he black or what's...
He's
Jeff's
going to
venture into choppy
you
water.
You can't tell
Afro,
anymore.
He's
everyone's
Afro-Latino.
Got like... Yeah, people... They
he's
got
Afro
like mini slashes
but,
now. I can't.
Okay, so I went downstairs the day that the video came out. And the porter who works here, he's a black man. Mm-hmm. He... loves music. He loves blasting music at all hours that I can hear on the fourth floor.
Mm-hmm. He also doesn't like acknowledge anyone who walks in here, so we just all
that's
a doorman.
What is a porter?
Porter does like the custodial duties.
Thank
we
you.
Live in a nice building.
It's an Upper West Side.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And so, should I say his name on here?
No.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah.
No. I mean, nobody knows.
Yeah. Well, now they're going to. Yeah. Anyway, so. Down there and he was listening to his music loud and I went up to him just to like say hi and he was like
I'm not racist.
I love this song. No, he goes, I fucking love this song. And I go, oh, what song is it? And he goes, it's and he shows me the video and I was just like, oh man. And he's like, you know, like I just love, he's like, well, tell me your thoughts. He's like, I just want to hear you be honest because I like having conversations. And I said, sure. I feel like it's really whack for him to equate black people sagging their pants to institutional racism. I think that's a very that doesn't match up for me. And so to feel like all these people have been commenting and being like, oh, well, you know what? I'm glad that somebody finally said something. And it's like, no, like this is not like the white issues are not that. It's so much deeper than that. And so I can't co-sign a song that makes everything so simplistic. And also, like, you know, I would never listen to it.
I think if you want to engage in viral conversations, I would recommend Michael Dapa's Man's Not Hot. Yeah, like, actually, every time somebody tries to talk to me about Jordan Lucas, I'm like, let's just watch Man's Not Hot again.
You know what it is? It's like, sometimes you can see things from afar. And again, that's like wild assumption. I could be wrong. But like, you just catch the energy off of a record sometimes. And you're like, the people who are talking about it, how they're talking about it, the people that are afraid to talk about it, even the comments of like, nope, we ain't going to talk about this. I'm like, all the right people were saying that. And I was like, yeah, I could pass, right? Like, mm-hmm. I got like X amount of storage left up here. Like, right. I'm going to save this.
It just wasn't fact. It just was, he was just trying to make it sound like black and white should sit and have a conversation.
And then they hug at the end.
And then hug at the end, which was not fact.
Is that where that meme came from?
Yeah. That's what blew my mind. Yeah. I was like, come on.
Who can relate?
You, or like, where the fuck are you living?
And like, it's also like, this isn't, that's not an original thought. That feels just as bad as like a contrived.
They also, they throw the table too, right?
Oh, no, he throws the table.
That's very, like, freshman year of college sociology class. Yeah. Like, damn, racism's real.
Well, see, I went to Morehouse, so they were like, don't sit at the table. Don't do that shit, bro. Like,
facts.
I don't know. That shit, like...
Facts.
I just caught... I'm glad I caught... Because I caught the energy coming off of it, and I remember thinking, like... Yeah, and
well,
not for me.
Doesn't sound like it's gonna happen for me.
I see what he was trying to do, but it just wasn't. It's not true.
So we give him like
it
what?
Will never happen.
B
that
minus for effort
happen.
And F for execution.
I can't believe we talked about this.
I know.
Yeah, we dedicated so much bandwidth
to
this.
Out.
He won.
Gross.
Motorsport.
Best year. Best
sport. Skirt. Favorite verse.
Shit.
All right.
Chanel by Frank Ocean is 4 minutes of bars.
It is.
That's
wow. That's Rembrandt and I just said Duckworth 10 times.
Mine aren't like surprising though. Like I have Frank on. Yeah, Chanel Frank is crazy. Biking Frank, the solo joint, is nuts. The last verse.
Raff remix.
Frank. Who else killed it? Awesome.
How come you didn't say Jay-Z on biking?
I really like that Jay verse. It took me a
who wrote that verse for him?
Damn, really?
Yeah, because he doesn't know what a bar spin is.
I was surprised, like, do you know about Nigel Sylvester? I could see you, like, Jay's also on the internet a lot, so maybe he does.
You think so?
Yeah,
Jay's I would actually love to know that he knows about, like, half cabs and shit.
That would be awesome.
Full but cabs.
I don't have faith in that.
I like Kendrick's second verse on Fear. I like Kendrick's second verse on DNA when the beat switches. I like,
That's the one.
You could stop there.
Yeah.
The second DNA, like, that's just like, just let's like go, like, take this
Taekwondo. Like, that shit is dope as fuck. And, like, he switches into another persona at that point. It's like the Kendrick I think I've always wanted, but didn't even know he could move like
so
that.
So sort of like Joyner Lucas says, I'm not a racist.
No.
That felt like old, like, BT Cypher Kendrick. Just like...
K-Dot
he might
Kendrick.
Go for like 8 minutes. Like he might never stop. Like that's, like that was.
But this was the year that Frank was like, "Yo, I'm just gonna out rap a lot of dudes," and he did. And
he did that on Oldie too. To be completely honest,
well, he did. But Oldie, that was Earl's song. I'm trying to think who
but
else.
It was like very clear that he was hinting at, you know, if I felt like it,
he's got it.
I could very easily run circles around all of
yo
you
Chanel. Chanel's a big deal. I might have to
Remy Ma on Sheether.
So you went from Joe Budden to Remy Ma and Sheether.
Are you telling me that
let's
that wasn't...
Let's come back to this in the biggest fall-off segment of our conversation.
Fine.
Holy
fine.
Smokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Fine.
Holy smokes.
Wait a second, sis. Okay.
But to but co-sign...
Hold on.
Holy
but
understand. Shit.
Hold on.
Yo, that time was on like a Saturday morning, though, right? Or a Sunday morning? And
something
like
that.
And she shit all over, you know, at that point, the biggest female rapper to exist.
That was this year?
It was
that
in was February.
Yeah, that was like
so many things happened this year.
It was on like a Saturday or Sunday morning, and it took over like the whole day.
Yeah.
Like everyone was like, yo, she's dead.
As a moment, that was amazing. As a verse, like it was so good.
You know, this wasn't the best verse, but I really enjoyed it for a lot of reasons because, like, Diamond encrusted carabiner era Pharrell is my favorite Pharrell.
Ooh, Rihanna's.
Oh,
Rihanna's verse.
No. No. For me, it's on French's "Bring Them Things."
Oh,
and it really felt like I don't think really like anyone would count, but I was listening to it and it really felt like in my mind Pharrell again.
Hmm.
And anytime that happens,
I know what you're. Yeah,
100% there for
that. Yes, I want to piggyback off of that.
New Pharrell is distressing to me.
Skepta numbers with Pharrell. I don't know when Skepta came out. Skepta, when did Skepta's album
come
out?
That
was this year or last year?
I think it was last year.
Fuck, shit. Well, yeah. All right, because that was one of the best verses so in a long time. Like, I like DJ Drama for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know Gangsta Grills
for real. So, yeah, so that is what we heard on Skepta's song now. I don't, Skepta.
Oh, but it's from 2016? I mean, I listened to a lot of New Edition this year. So,
shut up. We're all listening to. That's why I asked you. I said, did Skepta come out this year?
Oh, yeah. Also, I want to throw Jay's Marcy Me.
Yeah, I had Marcy Me as my other joint.
I was talking with it with Damian Scott from Complex.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He was like first verse, but I was also like, man, I like the second verse too. That's just Jay, how we wanted to see him. Like, no surprises, Jay, like in his pocket. Rapping at a tempo that he feels comfortable, but just that. Also, too, like he, like we're talking about best verses. Like, you gotta be able to rap those verses. Sometimes I watch Kendrick and I like his verse, but live, it's not structured in a way that he can actually really rap.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and he's getting better at it.
Right, mm-hmm.
But there's a point where he's have to
but
go.
But someone
every
has to
other...
have Pro Tools in the back.
Right, Jay can rap that verse, and he has. And you, the way you see him move on stage, sometimes like I like to watch rappers move on stage because I. No, it's how they rap. Mm-hmm. Like, it tells you something about how they rap.
Mm-hmm.
It's that verse, Marcy Me, the first verse or the second verse, you can picture Jay moving about the way he raps.
He takes you places.
Whole, yeah. And you can feel him moving with that one. That's
for sure. This is by no means the best verse of the year, but the feeling that it gave me when Cam on Once Upon a Time shouted out Jimmy.
Mm.
Like
a teardrop.
It was like it was like so many teardrops. Like I was just like, and then
lied about the reason that Dame snapped.
Yeah,
her
yeah. I mean, you know, facts don't matter.
Do we? Yeah.
There's a future joint too that
I like Vince's verses on Back.
Vince is like
Vince raps his ass off.
Yeah.
Do we consider Crew a 2017 song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It has a barcode in 2017.
Right.
As well.
I just feel like I've been hearing it for 2 years, but
you have,
but I think like. Shy Glizzy's verse.
Yeah.
Grammy nominated Shy Glizzy.
Yeah.
Like, that is like, holy shit. Like, I also just hearing it in DC.
Oh my God.
Was just like a beautiful. I was like,
oh, so
finally,
you did it right.
Like, y'all have a Wale replacement. Sorry. Culturally, another one. Something else to champion.
Yes. Okay.
I fixed that.
Yeah.
This is all Phil's fault.
Everyone can share a space. But Rev and I are never going to, forever.
Sorry, it's a long story. But no, I like, it's fun to watch a city have a moment, and like watching DC, a city that's like so easy to sometimes make fun of musically, to like have, like just undoubtedly one of the best songs. I always will. But that verse is just like.
And shout out Young Matt Cohen for the Crew video.
Mm.
Oh, and that blue fur.
Matt Cohen did that?
Yeah.
Bongo Boy.
Wow. That blue fur is my favorite item.
Strong.
Clothing.
Yeah, he did that.
Big really,
and Duckworth.
Really quickly. Yeah,
Duckworth. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Duckworth for me.
Ninth great. Wonder.
Great. Mm. I can't. There's nothing else to say.
It's Ninth Wonder. You got to wrap your ass
every
up.
Every time you guys say Duckworth, I keep thinking of the other.
That's it.
That's it. Duckworth. There's no hook. Like, yeah. It's just a story.
Do you know what, too? Like, man, how do you sit on that? And then, like, you have that story and you just sit with it. And, like, I think that's. Like rap, like it's decision making, such a huge part of your art. To sit, you have that story, and then you sat on that, and you structured it the way you did it, you made it palatable, and then you placed it where you placed it, like that. And that whole song is a verse, like that's it. Yeah. It starts and it ends, and he fucking.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Best social media account, artist or otherwise.
Cardi B, for me. That's it. Sorry.
Mr. Hotspot.
Mr. Hotspot.
What is Mr. Hotspot?
Mr. Hotspot.
He's this guy from Atlanta.
Yeah, he's like, he's
Meachie
Tusi's third.
Yes!
But
he's
also
so
funny.
Oh, yeah. He's so funny.
He's so funny.
He's very funny.
It actually makes me feel better.
He does.
He just like looks in the mirror. He's like, ooh, look at you. Like, he's like, you love yourself. It's.
Ooh, that's you, ain't it?
That's you, ain't it? Like, I also, he was out just like in the streets taking videos like with, Keisha Bottoms as she was running for mayor, and he was like, "Oh, look at Keisha!" Like, it was incredible. I was just like, I love a positive social media come up. Shout out to the young man, and he can dance.
And he has a great song. That song that if you smile,
I'm all I'm
I'm
putting my money on him.
Yeah, I kind of downloaded it.
I like Yara Shahidi's.
You like what?
Yara Shahidi from Black-ish. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. We're all in our old head shit now, and I worry about kids, and it's like, wow, you can really be popping. And like we said about artists earlier, you could be serious sometimes, and you don't have to be serious other times. She strikes that balance really well for me. Mm. And it's like she really – it's cool to see someone learning in the public eye. That shit is really tight to me.
I agree.
I love Ain't No Jigga on Instagram.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Who's Ain't No Jigga?
Yeah. I don't know who it is, but he follows.
He posts all Jay-Z's pictures.
He knows like, everything.
Everything. That's amazing. Like, not just like.
That's weird. Is it you?
No. It's not just like taking like the photos from like, you know, random, like, you know, sort of like sea level Rock Nation people, but yeah. It's like all the information as to like what he's wearing.
Is it someone like, on the team?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Also, the poster quick. Like, he says say Lenny S posted 12. Yeah. He'll have the story by 12:10. I'm like, so you crazy. Just know this shit.
Oh, it's
like,
so
it just,
so
it just took like, 10 minutes to type it
the
out.
The equivalent like, of like the Supreme dudes who like fucking figure out what Supreme is coming out with every Thursday.
No, but this actually matters. So it's like, yeah, like it's different. No, this guy.
What Jay's
like,
wearing?
Yeah, but like, it will be what he's no, wearing. It's like, but also, this is why it's important to his life. Yeah, and then like side stories,
like
other
Sir's social security number.
No,
we invited him to the rock event that we did, but he wasn't. He doesn't live around here. Yeah. We don't know where he lives.
I don't know what his story is or anything.
Yeah. I love that.
We don't
it's
know
wild.
Where he lives.
Mine, my
you
account
got in touch
is
with him?
I DM'd him.
Tracy Ellis Ross. I just like
Tracy Ellis Ross.
I really love her. It's out of control. Like I'm like
you're in love with her. You're like
yeah
that's why. Like, but also like
you like
yo, that poster she came out with the Balenciaga Triple S.
Yo, she's fucking killing.
And she was like, don't make fun of my shoes. I like my shoes.
I love her. I love her. She's funny. And like she does. Like I don't like to watch videos. I don't really like Instagram accounts where people talk to their camera.
Mm-hmm.
But I watch Tracy's shit. Like I,
she's talking to you.
Well, I'd like to believe that. Nah, like, but like, no, but she's dope. And you know what? I remember she did this speech where, like,
I'm shipping you guys.
Yo, please, let's make this happen.
Jinx and Tracy.
I'm sticking around long enough in like the quote unquote journalism game just to like, if I can meet her, I feel like I'll say the right things. You know, then that'll be it.
I feel the same way about Marissa Tomei. Don't ask; it's a long story.
Right, oh, man. I saw Spider-Man: Homecoming.
I'm also gonna just say I'm gonna say LeVar Ball.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so
yeah, LeVar Ball, president.
I hated LeVar until the Trump shit, and now he's got like he's tight with Cuomo. Like he's like LeVar has
pumped the brakes.
Oh, with Chris Cuomo, winning.
Yeah, they say like you can stick around. What's that Batman line? Like you be the hero long to be the villain. He flipped that shit.
Yeah,
like, this motherfucker's a hero now. Like
he's trolling
President Trump.
He's heroic.
His son out
of
college.
Man.
He sent him Zotus, and he knows them shits are bad. He knows them shits
multifaceted.
Support you up. Support. Black business. I'm gonna buy a pair of shoes.
Yep.
When Hove spoke about
they're
LeVar
so
and was like, "Look, he may not do things the right way." LeVar took the interview, cut that part out, stitched it back together, and then posted it and was like, "Hove is fucking with me." And I'm like, "You're a," and then like had still something snarky to say. I was like, "You're a maniac."
Wait,
I love him.
He's a maniac.
I'm gonna forget this. I forgot my actual answer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it on the receipt?
No, it's not. Tina Knowles' Instagram.
Oh my
god. Yeah.
I just
the single greatest thing. Like I check it. Like I watch it like a TV show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, the same way. Like I wait to watch like a new Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I do.
Yeah. Yo, shout out Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Shout out Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
They've been pretty
also.
Consistent.
Tina's.
They've been consistent.
Like, it's hard in this sitcom world.
Naomi left again.
Tina,
she came in and left.
She's her the best mom
her,
to watch.
Her comments. On like she writes her comments like. A mom first,
yes.
Then like Beyonce and Salah.
Like comments on
said.
Beyonce stuff or captions?
No, like her
captions. And her daughters hate it.
Like
they
like,
hate it.
But well, it's so like and,
they
like,
love it.
And like
no,
like Tina's like kind of like semi country but semi fancy like the other grown folk that she hangs
mm-hmm.
out with and vacations with
mm-hmm.
and like when all the stuff was happening in Houston and they were doing these little like food drives
yeah
and,
like the butt patch of a like, Darion jean
and like sometimes
and
their size like the pictures are sized terribly
right
like,
no she is she's like really a mom on Instagram and it's amazing to see because she does these like corny jokes
yeah.
right
so cool.
And she just posts them like and she'll tell them and she'll like do a smirk. She won't even laugh at it. Like she'll just smirk, like goodbye.
She's pleased with herself.
Right?
Yeah,
it is the best shit ever. It's the best shit to watch. Period. Reading her comments, everything. She's just a mom.
I just feel
and
like I have like
see.
Another aunt. She's just super famous.
Yes,
she happens to be Beyonce's
yes.
mom. And
right.
She just it's
in
incredible.
Our advanced age, we haven't really known her for about 15 years or more.
That is really true.
Since Full Denim.
Gunnar Stahl is my favorite SoundCloud photographer.
Totally.
Who also is very good on Twitter.
He's
consistently.
The best.
And he's, best kid. He's not
also
a kid.
His name is like a diehard villain name.
Also, his grandmother lives right next door to us.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's crazy.
We ran into...
Well, no, like next door.
That's hilarious.
We ran into Gunnar Stahl at 3 a.m. on the Upper West Side. We're the only people on the street. We were like, what are you doing here?
Beg pardon?
Yeah.
And I know how he responded. He probably shrugged. Like.
In 2017, I saw the same cops back to back at This Is a Show that was supposed to be for label executives that like 3,000 kids showed up to or whatever. And then the next day at Gunnar Stahl's art show, which like shut down the block in Soho.
The Puma
like,
show, right?
So, you know, he's the best rapper who's not a rapper and a good person and genuinely creates some fire content.
His Twitter really is funny. So fucking funny, and it's that right amount of like, it's not mean, but it's sharp, and it looks careless, but I know he's trying, you know, and like he just nails it. He's like exactly kind of what you think a 25-year-old would be, but without doing the extra shit.
Yeah, it doesn't promote rape culture, which is advisable.
Oh, and it's working. And advisable. And it's also like not just goofy. Like it's actually, it's working for him. Yeah. You know, and like he keeps he puts his images on his Instagram, his jokes on his Twitter. It makes you like him more. It doesn't make you like just fawn after him after like a quasi celebrity. Like you like him.
He's a good dude.
But back to Tracee Ellis Ross.
I follow Cam'ron's mom on Instagram. And Cam'ron's mom has jumped into every skirmish and every beef that Cam'ron has had. And it is so good. It is so... Everything she says is so good. So, shouts to her.
Talk about it.
Best new artist. Anybody?
All right, quickly. NBA Youngboy.
Yeah, after we fought about it.
I know. And then I saw him live. And I was like, okay. I get it. I see it. It's amazing.
Eric was insistent that wasn't going to be a thing.
And it's a thing.
It's a thing.
You were right, Phil.
It was a thing last year, I'd say.
Wow.
I like
Jeff said you were going to say that.
That's holy hilarious. Shit. It was. The numbers were there.
He
new to me
the
this year.
Yeah. I mean, in general, Smokey Margiela is a promising
you
young
love
fellow.
Smokey Margiela.
I love Smokey Margiela. I went to SOBs for Smokey Margiela. It's like not you know, takes a lot to get me out there. YBN Nahmer. Shout out to all Alabama rappers making Bay Area music.
Yep.
All kids in Alabama who are fans of Mozzie.
Creek Boys.
That's so crazy.
Creek Boys, Lil Baby.
Creek Boys is like if Bone Thugs was a barbershop quartet, Creek Boys like
or
a
like
choir.
A boy band.
It's like a full choir.
Like One Direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Harry Styles jumped out on his own this year, so
yeah. That Niall Horan single though. I mean, and while we're talking about rap boy bands, SOB, RBE as well. May they thrive in peace continually.
I hope Moses Sumney does really well next year. Moses Sumney so will.
Georgia Smith. It's a big year for new artists, actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Georgia Smith, it's like you don't know where she'll go with it, and I really hope like that one single really pushes her far.
I don't think she's figured it out yet, but I think she has time to. Trying to
Predator killed that beat.
I have like about 4 or 5.
Go.
So JID.
Mm-hmm.
That's new album. And kid named Duckworth. Really like a lot. A lot, a lot. Black. Although he's not new.
Six Lack,
yeah.
Please. He's not new, but he's new to some. Some people don't know about him.
He cut his hair this year, so it's a new
beginning. Right, it's a new him. And Brent.
Yeah,
Brent is new to some. And I really like him a lot. I like that project a lot. And I'm excited to see what he has to come real soon. I mean, I specialize in like the new, like the people that nobody knows at all. But there's this girl called, her name is Sierra Wack. She's from Philly. She's a problem. You understand? Like, she's a problem. She can text. She could rap very well.
Mm.
Her flow is superb. And I'm just excited to see what she does, too, because she doesn't have a single out or anything like that, like nothing. But she's really great. And she's, it's just the year of, I like rapping women who rap.
Well, and there's never been more talented like, I will, no, I think there's been talented female rappers for the, you know, all history, but it's actually, like, insane how many promising women there are right now.
Right.
But
we
I
didn't
think
even
it's
mention
very,
Rhapsody. Like, Rhapsody came out with a very strong album, you know what I'm saying? And just, I'm just looking forward to a bunch of just rappers.
Yeah, I think I want to shout out Rico Nasty just as somebody who specifically, like, a label is investing in developing and investing in, like, being an album artist. I think that there's, like I said, like, a staggering amount of talented women rappers right now, but very,
very
few who are getting that kind of investment.
Very,
you know, somebody
so.
Like Rhapsody has made that happen for herself.
Yep.
And I think that it shouldn't have to be that way. And, you know, like, I hope, I think it's just notable that when we talk about singles, there's a lot of women in the conversation, but when we talk about albums, it's more rare. So hopefully continues
to change. We can get more
change.
From them.
On some Korean shit, I hope Yeji does really well. She's really dope. She's a producer out of New York.
Yo, it's crazy. She did Rain Girl, right?
Yep.
Yo,
yeah, she is sick.
She's rocking. Her videos are sick.
She's fucking dope and, like, just uncompromising about switching between Korean and English, and I really like that.
I'm going to just add Young Pinch, and then do you have anybody else?
I had Brent as well. I had, I don't know if, I wasn't checking for Sabrina Claudio before this year, so I don't know if she's new, but I was fucking with her. I got this kid off your Instagram, a kid Gunna.
Oh, yeah, Gunna, wait,
yo, also, no
Gunna.
Bullshit, shout out Naomi's Instagram stories. It's like where I find most of my new music.
I get a lot of
like
shit.
Best new artist.
Yeah,
best new Naomi's Instagram
stories. Best new A&R, Naomi's Instagram stories.
Yo, yeah, like I pick up a lot of shit from there. That kid Gunna, I was like, that project, there's like, I think it's like 7 songs on there maybe. 4 of them are really hot and 3 of them are still listenable. And I just, you heard it, like you hear him and you're like, oh, you got something. Like whatever he does next will be dope. GID for
project
sure.
Last week.
That's Tripper Drown.
Trip
that
or drown.
Shit is, that shit is
that's
crazy.
The motto.
Instagram, give Naomi a free business account so you could do swipe up.
Mm, yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. For real. I'm trying to think. Look, who else Phil. Did I rock?
For real.
Naomi left.
Oh, you know what? I was really interested in Rex Orange County too.
Oh, Rex Orange County.
Yeah.
I want to note also how many of these artists are independent. I think like we talked about Georgia. Rex,
he has a kid Hassani too.
Almost all of
you
them.
Know, a lot of these people.
Well,
are
the
choosing.
Other half are signed to 300.
that ain't even shout funny. That's true.
Shout out to the whole Warner system and especially Julie.
That's crazy.
But yeah,
hi Julie.
Hi Julie. I think. I don't know if we're still going to talk about like brand that had the biggest year, but I think Empire Distribution.
We're talking about brands
change,
that have
changed
the
game.
Year.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the biggest question. Year. Yeah.
Is that the next question?
Jeff, it's go. Biggest year for non-artists, so a brand, a service, an executive, someone or something you view as having
like
a surprisingly
a
good year.
Questions.
That is not
true. Mine is Virgil. I think this dude, like, he's, you know, you might have like your own hang-ups on him or whatever, but
do
if
I?
You want to, like, if you want to jump out and like be like, how do you connect? Sometimes your work lives further than you do, and sometimes you live further than your work. I think he's been able to excel at the same pace of his work, be it his or a collection of people. And I think it's tough coming out from that Kanye umbrella, because then you're always.
You think if Kanye didn't denounce him tomorrow, like if Kanye came out tomorrow and was like, fuck Virgil, you think that shit would last?
Yeah, I do.
At this point, you do?
Yeah, I do. I think, and that's kind of what, and that's about having a good year. I think when you have a good year, you jump out from that connectivity you have to a brand or an entity or someone that quote unquote put you on. I think he's got more juice than Kanye right now, as far as like what kids are wearing and what they fuck with. But that's just me. I think he had a great year. And not just like in the streetwear shit. Like I saw, again, Tracee Ellis Ross. I saw like Tracee Ellis Ross, Sarah Jessica Parker wearing his stuff, you know? And he still has that hip-hop tie to hip-hop world. He's still doing, you know, whatever you want to call it, the DJ sets. But, like, I don't know how he has that many hours in his day. And I think that was cool to watch. And for a dude that likes to watch, like, black people get into spaces that sometimes they're not allowed to be in or they can't thrive in, I'm rooting for him in that case. Whether I like the work or not, I do like it. But it makes it easier for a lot of us that come after. So
I have two very different answers. One, I actually wore a pair of Adidas this year and enjoyed them.
What were they?
So that's a big year for Adidas.
Big year for Adidas.
You know what they're, you know what they're called?
Yeah.
No, but they were very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people like Adidas more than they did last year.
What happened? Did you find these shoes them? Somewhere? And like you.
No, I just I never people, thought I'd really like Adidas.
People saw you wearing like Adidas, and now they like it more.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're like an influencer.
Shout out Wex.
What was the other one?
And wow. Also, shout out Adidas. Shout out Nike.
Whoever's paying me the most.
My second, I feel like big year for Gabrielle Union.
Big year for Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, totally.
Talk
and
about it.
The brand of Gabrielle Union is very strong in a way that I just never thought it was going to be like this. But like,
As strong.
Like she.
Because she's always been strong.
She's always been strong. But I feel like she is. She's gotten out of that, like was famous.
She's in her proverbial bag.
Adidas.
Thank
bag?
You.
Yeah.
But like, I was in the mall and saw that there was like a Gabrielle Union collection at some store, and I was like, that's tight. I feel like a lot.
Clothes?
Yeah.
Tracy, we know Tracy
Ellis. She's got the
JCPenney. I know, dog. I know.
Everyone came with an agenda.
I finish so yeah, I can,
but
so
there's
I can
room for
back.
More than one, you know?
Oh, right. I mean, yeah, she has the JCPenney collection. She's 45 years old, and that's normally the point in time where they try to discard women, and she's found a way.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, if you're, I remember her giving that speech. She's like, "Yo, it's nice to win an award when you're 44, and you're not. It's not about your age or youthfulness. It's about like what you bring to the table, your character." And she's fucking bodying shit. You guys kidding me? Like,
no, I.
Tracy Ellis Ross. Her brand is strong.
And Gabrielle.
God damn.
I would say, since we're on the Black Woman Run, Issa Rae had a great year. I don't even need to run down a list of things that she's done, but just for creating a conversation with everybody on social media about relationships and their perspectives on them, I think it was really dope. HBO wins with that one. It's a great piece, and I watch it all the time. Something I can rewatch all the time. So, and Issa Rae as a person, you know what I'm saying? When I watch her interviews and how she speaks about lifting others up, when she talks about, you know, you shouldn't be looking front and back, you should be looking side to side to help people out. And that's what, you know, those people need to be by you. And I really fuck with her. I like her a lot. So I support her. That's something. She had a great year. Great year. So,
for me, it was Rihanna, hands down. Because over the past 3 years, I've worked with 3 giant fucking companies, all in different industries, who all wanted Rihanna to be the spokesperson for X, Y, and Z, like major launches for shit. And, you know, as far back as 3 to 4 years ago, she was saying just no and turning down these what are quite frankly like ungodly sums of money. And, you know, to the point where it left like a lot of people at these businesses being like, who the fuck does she think she is?
Rihanna.
This is such a huge opportunity.
She's Rihanna.
Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like as it happens, she doesn't really need anyone to validate any of that shit because it's her. And it's been really incredible to watch her kind of convert this massive cultural cachet that she has into meaningful leverage in business settings. And I think Puma's great. Like she turned Puma into a thing that people care about again all of a sudden. That show is rad. I mean, whatever you want to say, it's on the radar, but the big story, obviously, is Fenty Beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy how, Fenty. Like, that shit is...
The highlighter?
It's just... No, I mean, like, you know what's crazy? It's like, this girl was telling me, she was talking about her friend's boyfriend, right? And she was like, this move that I didn't really understand, but, like, she was like, well, you know, I know he likes her. He went and saw... I guess like Fenty has like numbers and shit, right? Like he knows what Fenty shoes, so he went and bought all that and keeps that as crib for her. And I was like, oh shit, so that's a move. But it's like now it's not makeup, it's Fenty, right? Like girls say Fenty, it's like Kleenex. You know what I mean? Like that is now it is a defining term of the shit you need to be using. If you're not using it, that shit's whack. Someone else jumps up with makeup. Girls attack that account. Like, nah, we on Fenty. Mm-hmm. Fuck your shit.
In right. all 3 situations that I'm describing earlier, she was saying, and like obviously like 3-4 years ago, like now when you hear it, because she's established, you know, what it is.
But like in 4
there's
months.
No question. But like 3 years ago, she was still saying, if it's not Fenty co-branded, I can't do it. So she had that plan for
Fenty
a minute.
Brand.
And I'll say this, the Fenty Beauty launch, you know, happened over the span of a very short week. And within like that 5-day period, forced the entire fucking beauty cosmetics industry to rethink everything.
Oh, because they just realized that black people have skin complexions that like, also do deserve foundation. So it's kind of like, oh yeah, oh they have money too, so we can buy. You know, they. I guess people don't really
or like
you
know have
that.
These products. We also have to market them. I mean, like, you know.
Right.
We all
right.
work in advertising media, right? And it's like me especially because I'm close to point of sale. Like it's always the thing where it's like minorities aren't marketable. That's always the excuse. As it happens, you know, she literally changed the conversation overnight. And I think just that alone, for me, it's like Rihanna, like, executing a plan, turning down just really just stupid amounts of money. Stupid amounts of money. And to get where she has gotten with that plan is, you know, I can't say anyone had a bigger year there.
Also, like, talking shit about the immigration ban in the first 20 for minutes. Sure. Like, no pause. Like, no silence. Like, you know, like, also, like, a beautiful writer. Her Instagram caption about her neighborhood the other day where they renamed her the street, her street was like, was bars, Frank Ocean bars. Like, it was, you know, like, I think she's really, she is Princess Diana and she belongs to the entire world and she's as our world is changing. She's
the new Donna Karen. Shit. Like, you name it. She's all of that.
Beauty is still sold out. People are still trying to buy it off the website. You cannot, depending on what complexion, you know what I'm saying? Speaking for women who are darker, it's hard to find foundation, period. That won't make you look like you're dead or, you know, try to make you look lighter. Yeah. So for her to have that many, just that many.
What's crazy is
the highlighter, Jeff.
When it's sold out, I'm familiar. People aren't upset. They're like,
no, and I'm happy. And I don't own the foundation. I don't own it yet. Out. Because
it's crazy.
How it's sold out, but I'm happy that it's sold out. Yep. Brand, you know what I'm saying? Because
it needed, like,
to be sold out.
You first to market on certain kind of products, and then sometimes that can fuck you up. She's first to market in execution. Was like kind of false, and she's not actively marketing. Now we're just doing it. Like Fader did a piece on it, and they employed that content and then put it on their Instagram.
As it happens, if you keep it a fucking buck, shit just works out.
Hello.
Yeah.
I want to shout out two of my best friends, Marsha St. Hubert and Ashley Kamenowitz, both at Atlantic Records, who had an unbelievable year.
Hi, Julie. Hi, Marsha.
Talk about you know, just putting your work in and making artists, like, you know, fulfill all of their promise. Gucci, Cardi, what they're going to do with Wiz, what they did with Meek, bringing him back from, like, the depths. They just keep putting in amazing work, especially those two, getting all those covers for Gucci, getting all those covers for Cardi, putting them on all those stages, putting them in the right rooms, on the right boats, like, everywhere. They have really, really done all they had to do and more.
Well, yeah, and especially, like, for in that building, I don't think that there was a belief in those two artists especially.
Right.
So
also, they clearly know, like, a good dentist. Because Gucci's teeth and Cardi's teeth.
Yeah. Well, teeth, like, she got a bag. Like,
yeah.
And then she fixed her teeth.
Yeah.
Well, also, I think, you know, when Me Too hits the music industry, it's going to be people like Marsha who inherit the power. I like straight up, like some shit's about to go down.
Big up.
And I'm glad that there are so many vets who are here and ready to take over.
Atlantic. And I also want to say also a big year for Sam. Sam the Hype Beast from RCA.
Yes.
Big year for her. She's like the VP, you know, of Urban.
All she does is get number one hits. So
yeah, and so she does number one.
Baby
hits.
Sam.
And she has the best shoes.
She has the best sneakers ever. Yeah. Ever. But yeah, shout out to her.
Biggest fall off, Jeff?
All right, biggest fall off, I'm going to say Fidget Spinners. And I'm going to say.
That's good.
I'm going to say flutes that were in songs. Because that felt like a week of, like, people putting out content pieces where it was just like, oh my God, everybody has a flute in a song. And now it's like,
it was so
what if everyone got like a Miri Ben-Ari but for flutes?
I feel like, you know, 2018 is just not going to have the same energy for flutes. And so I think if you've got your flute at home and you don't have a place to play it, you know, you should have played it in 2017.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anybody else? I would say Young Thug and Future, that thing just.
Oh, that was trash.
Which is such a bummer because
both them together and apart. I'm sorry. Like, just
I like those photos of them biking around together. Though
I think Future had a good earlier part of the year with Future and Hendrix. Like, I think both of them.
I don't think they lasted though. That's just I don't know.
Oh, I thought you meant the project. Sorry.
That's what.
I do mean that project specifically.
Relationship, the two of them on that song. I do like that song a lot, and so I was really hopeful for the project to come out, and then
I think Thug especially has a real opportunity next year to kind of like do, you know, Thug was known as somebody who's extremely innovative and, you know, changing all the time, and I think next year he has an opportunity to kind of like come back and actually do something different. But it's crazy that that's a disappointing project, mm-hmm. like, because it's actually a strong his solo project.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the bar is very high for him.
My answer every year is Drake.
Wow.
Why?
Because I get less and less interested in him every single year.
Didn't hear a single song ring off anywhere besides just in the context of like playing that album. Like they didn't live anywhere. Like they didn't live anywhere.
They made
great cases for other artists to thrive.
The playlist that he made.
Yeah, those songs didn't exist in the club. They didn't
People like Ice Melts. Blem. People like that song in Blem. Yeah.
And Ice Melts feels like it's almost Blem like that's Thug's, right? Like that feels like that lived because of
fake
Thug.
Love though.
They didn't ring off.
And then Giggs won,
they were replaced by so many other songs. I mean, like Travis had more stain, like so
right,
many other
no,
people.
It wasn't yeah,
and he had 20, and it wasn't like he had reason. Wasn't like he had 9 songs. He had 20 some odd songs.
Yeah.
My biggest fallout. So he just didn't. I think this was a year to keep the ship afloat. I don't think this was a year to excel by any means. For mine, it's Yachty. Mm. I think that
he teamed up with Nautica.
Boat metaphors,
but like yeah, like I think it's Yachty. He They made him a media darling last year and relied less on the music, and then the music came out and it wasn't really anything that was worthy of celebration, and then now the media darling, like there's always going to be someone new to replace you with,
mm-hmm.
and no matter what you do, it's why Drake dropped More Life. Like you can't sell sneakers, you can't sell merch or whatever, you can't do tours unless you got music to do that with. You just gotta do the core thing that they like you for.
Mm-hmm.
If Rihanna hadn't dropped Anti, Fenty would be harder to get off this year, mm-hmm. right? Like you gotta do the core thing that you're invited in the room for, and then you can start telling everybody whatever else you got under your jacket. And people care less about Yachty in that manner. I think, and you were saying like Young Thug set up to do great next year. I think that's true. I don't know if the same is the case for Yachty.
Mm. Really pick with that Fader cover.
Mm.
That was a big moment for him, though.
Huge. Will he still be king of the teens in 2018?
And I think that's a crazy title to even. I wish someone in his team said don't. Take that title.
Yeah.
It's a wild superlative for no reason.
And it's like, yeah, for what? And then
for the teens.
Yeah, well, for himself, you know. And like, yeah, that shit, I wonder what's going to happen with him, cuz like, even when you watch QC, like they've kind of stuck with the same folks that have kind of kept the ship going as mm-hmm. people have come and gone. So I don't know. I think Yachty, I like him, mm-hmm. you know. I think he has other skills, or he's likable.
Yeah.
I don't know if music's going to be the thing that he does next year.
Mm.
Or the thing that we care about from him next year.
Mine was attention spans and critical thinking.
Shit.
Man.
Is that a mixtape?
Yeah.
It sounds like a Meek Mill
song. I was going to say like Harvey Weinstein or Mike Flynn or some shit, or Men or some shit like that. But then I thought about it and I was like,
this isn't a time cover?
Nah, it sucked for them for sure. But like everyone else took a bigger L somehow than them just by like. Like all of us took a fucking L, and it, like I really wish like people would just like think about how shit connects more, think about where shit comes from, think about how shit sits next to other stuff, and stop thinking about it like just like in the immediate isolated moment that you like encounter something in.
Mm.
Because in my line of work, actually in everyone's line of work here, like media, again, media, advertising, shit like that, the companies we work for see that shit. And then it's just like, we'll just make more fucking trash for you to digest faster and faster and faster, and it becomes an unsustainable thing at some point. So I just hope everyone stops taking L's in 2018 and just steps back and thinks a little more.
What are your thoughts on Bitcoin, Phil?
Love Bitcoin.
But it's like, there's specific L's. It's like highly profitable L's.
Highly profitable L's.
Over highly profitable
L's. I love how Bitcoin's just going to destroy everything.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Is it real?
No, Bitcoin.
I don't get it.
That's
me neither.
It's a different pod. It. But the point is,
computer money.
Bitcoin is using more energy to process than the entire country of Denmark at this point.
And literally on some Black Mirror shit, like Rupert Murdoch's house burned down in a wildfire today. Like literally the world is burning.
My thing is this: most people don't even know how to fucking access like a basic savings account. Don't be fucking playing with speculative currencies. Like, what are you doing?
Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
Rembert?
Yeah. Make sure you take your receipt when you leave.
Yeah. And the last category. Our dream collaborations for 2018. Deani?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even My dream collab would actually be, somebody go first. I didn't even think about that.
I'll go first because mine's depressing again. My shit is no fucking collabs in 2018. Please stop.
None?
Like, yeah, the shit was, you should, my feeling is you should only collaborate when it's like that. That other person in that equation does something completely different from.
We're not
that
saying like
we're talking about projects. Are we talking about like you can cool do a album. It's not like, right?
It doesn't have to be.
You talking about Big Sean and Metro Boomin?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Also, I wanted to say Big Sean was my disappointment of this year. I decided it was a disappointment to me, and this I decided it came out this year, right?
Yeah.
Disappointment to me.
Oh fuck! You didn't like Bounce Back?
It was cool. Okay. It was nice. It was a nice single.
That came out this year?
Beast Mode.
Yeah. And I hope he doesn't disappoint me, you know, with this Metro Boomin piece. People think that I hate Big Sean. I don't hate Big Sean.
Wait, yeah.
I don't hate Big Sean. Wait, no, I don't hate
totally
Big Sean.
I totally forgot until you brought it up.
Yeah, I know. But I don't.
It's pretty lengthy.
I decided to me was a letdown.
It was.
And
it
I
was.
Think... you know, this one, what is it called? Double or Nothing?
Double or Nothing.
I think he also acknowledges that it's, I think he also acknowledges that it's bad. That's why he's going Double or Nothing. This album is just Double or Nothing. So, that's what
pretty high stakes. Like,
wow. Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought the title was. Brim, what?
Wait.
That's what I thought.
I just feel like in this merged out landscape, everyone is slapping logos next to each other and shit just to like, piggyback off each other's Instagram followers. Fucking just think about why you're doing something.
Yeah.
Fucking just please like figure out why you do something before you like go out and put 90 logos on something. And fucking yeah. Like the only thing worse than collabs is merch and pop-ups. So no more of that shit until people figure their shit out.
No more merch.
I got some collab ideas.
Let's go.
Well, first off, I just want to say when I think about 2018, I'm pretty excited for the Ariana Grande record. I feel like she's about to come out here and surprise people.
Let's go.
Body this shit.
Yeah.
Team Grande.
And
it's Arianators.
I have not previously enjoyed Ariana Grande, so I'm really like this. I'm ready to get on board. And I think I would like to hear her maybe do something with Swae Lee, who I also feel like I'm ready to see continue to blossom.
Mm-hmm. Strong.
In his own.
He's so good.
Way.
Yeah, one more
he's so
time.
Good. He's
Naomi's Instagram stories for A&R of the year.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Yeji earlier. I would actually really like to see Yeji get picked up by one of these like lucratively signed SoundCloud type dudes and
for
employed.
Sure.
I think that could be some hot shit.
Please.
So, you know, like Ski Mask or whatever, like call Yeji. Hamza is the Belgian Ram Riddles. I would like to see him just do some music with Ram Riddles, who I also like. And I would like to see Steve Lacy work with someone like Gunna, or like, you know, Steve Lacy kind of do some vibey shit with some of these vibey rappers.
He's got a lot of stuff. Like he's in a good spot.
Yeah. So those are some fanfics.
You know, like depressingly, I just I guarantee we're a year and a half away from Supreme's car collab.
Oh.
It's going to be a Range Rover, I promise.
Like Oldsmobile?
Yeah, definitely. And then when... I hope Disney finishes their buyout of Fox so we can get this X-Men Avengers movie.
Ooh!
I don't think it's going to happen. Mine is... I kept thinking about, like... I was thinking about, like, directors I like and artists that I like. So what's not, like, two musical artists? But, like, I wish for some reason we can get, like, Spike Jonze and SZA to sit down, because I feel like her project felt like a movie, and I feel like he takes worlds and creates around them.
100%.
And I'm not thinking about what he did on stage with Frank Ocean. I'm thinking more like Where the Wild Things Are. I'm thinking more like what he did with Kanye's short film. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about what he did with her. And I'm like, I can listen to Supermodel, I can listen to The Weeknd, I can listen to a lot of the songs in her project. Even, like, I'm not a fan of, I think it's Prom. But like that makes me feel like Spike Jonze should be working with her. Maybe not for music video, but like they should sit aside and just have conversations and see what comes up.
Yep.
I was going to say I want more written projects from SZA for Rihanna. I think I would want that. I would love to hear how that sounds, because we've heard it on Anti, but I would love to hear more of it. So that's what I would want. I would want SZA to write more for Rihanna. Although I would love SZA to write her own shit too. I would love it. But I really, really, really would like SZA to write more for Rihanna. That's what I like.
I also think she can't take a year off. I think Like, I watched
SZA or Rihanna?
SZA. I saw like Travis do every September for like 3 years, and then this year he's off. I think SZA should bounce back next year and like don't take a year. Like,
no.
Yeah. Whatever you got, like, let's do it again and then take your time.
Mm-hmm.
Ram? I'd like a year of like more like Latin trap and Atlanta trap just running into each other. Like, basically Balvin and anyone.
I'm with it. I'm with it.
Like
Bad Bunny, Balvin.
I want it. I want it all. Barack Obama and Chance the Rapper. Mm-hmm, I don't know. Something there.
think about it.
Think about it. Yeah, I also like am just like I miss Kanye. And
Kanye and T-Pain. Kanye and T-Pain reunion in 2018.
Come back.
Come back.
I don't know if I want Kanye and Cudi.
I don't think it's healthy.
I don't know if it's. I like Cudi on his own. I feel like the last album, I was like, cool, stay in that lane, like stay healthy. I don't think I want Kanye and Cudi. Mm-hmm. And I, because
it's like an enabler's relationship.
It's like, I didn't think I wanted Dipset, and they came back and surprised me. But that's after like six attempts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kanye and Cudi are probably going to get on their second or third,
and they'll literally explode.
Right.
And I think I don't know where Kanye's at. I think Cudi should stick and do what he's doing, mm-hmm. and maybe open his mind up to working with some other people. But I don't think Kanye
like
and Cudi.
Because I mean, as a Cudi stan, I love Cudi, love him to death.
You know, I wish Cudi would have rocked with Timberland, and not to make the same tempo that Timberland makes, but to take the sound that Timberland has.
Spicy.
And stretch it. Like I feel like Timberland like sounds stretched out. Would
I like
worked.
That.
And just be in conversation with these people. Don't be in conversation.
Cudi
with
and
the
Timberland.
Same
say it again.
Yeah, like or like, if you're gonna bring anybody from before, bring Emil and bring Plain Pat, but don't bring. Oh. I don't think you need Kanye. I don't think he does.
Selfishly, for my own reasons, I really do want that. You know
I think Kanye profits more than Cudi does.
10 Deep mixtape.
I agree.
Woo! Round two.
Yeah. Nick Hedge dubs.
Let's go. Playing bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm looking forward to that collaboration. Whatever, if it does pop up as something. But they've made amazing music before. I just think they can do other things in the time they have left. And I don't know how much that is.
Time they have left?
Well, you know, with the current state of affairs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who knows if we make it to 2018.
Or like the time, if they both drop two duds next year,
anything could happen.
That time gets shorter, you know?
So also, it's like, Kanye probably doesn't have much listens from me, like, now. So
I hate that
that's
gap.
The time I have left for him. I don't have much time for Kanye anymore.
God damn.
I have
all the time for Kanye.
Yeah. I want him to swing back like how Hope swung. And I want him to swing. I want these guys to swing back. Like Drake, he didn't swing as hard as he could. So we're talking all this new music this year. It's because those other guys didn't occupy our ears this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Right. Next year, come back.
Yeah. Are we worried that Kanye is gone? Like,
not that he's gone, but like,
good that he's taking time.
But the thing is, he wasn't like...
Please take the time you need.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's like, it's nice when you take time by choice, not when you're forced. And so if you're forced, it's cool. Come back, but come back like in good shape. You know?
Sure. Come back healthy. I think he's...
Healthy, yay, come back.
I think he's trying to get healthy right now.
I'd be hurt if he came back and he wasn't. Then you're like... Because then you... It's not even a matter of selfishly what you want from him. You start feeling like... You know, it's like when you don't see someone and then they're not doing well and then you see them and they're doing good. You're like, that's what that time was. If you see them and they're the same or worse, you start wondering if this is the decline that becomes who you are. That's your, you're not
100%. Doing
this. In all seriousness, that's what I was talking about with attention spans. I feel like the audience is so fucked in regards to like,
it's gonna keep
our expectations for when shit needs to come out. It's like you just don't give people the time they need to create something that's worth your attention.
Or our time to even understand. We just keep plummeting and plummeting.
100%.
Yeah. So why do you guys keep going? I mean, not you guys, but why do people keep going off on Jay Electronica for taking
his time?
Coming.
Right.
I was playing Jay Electronica this morning, and I was like, you motherfucker. Like, you are so good.
So good.
That
but
if
it maybe takes it. He needs time. That much time.
I'm under the belief that if he came up next year with four records, they'd be listenable and we'd fuck with him. But the chances are,
I don't even know what you're talking about.
He's probably never coming with records. He's not coming. That's why I don't want to talk about it. I'm upset.
It makes
Naomi
so
went
bad.
Home.
I'm upset because
a debut box set
because
20 albums.
No, you know what the worst part is?
The Criterion Collection.
The worst part about it is that he's not going to come up with anything. That's
you don't know that. You don't know that.
I do.
No.
Gianni, Phil, Jinx, Naomi, Rembert, thank you guys so much for coming through. If there's a world next year, we'll do it again then.
Congrats on the show still existing and being good.
Thank you.
Happy Hanukkah, guys.
Happy Hanukkah. No, that's a good thing. Like, people have podcasts and they just...
don't exist for a long time. This is great.
What is this, like the 800th episode?
Yeah. Happy 800th, man.
Yeah. Beg fucking pardon.
I would like to say, this will be the
Rem
year.
Cheese.
This will be the year that Assad learns to speak, and we want to get him on the podcast. So that's my dream collaboration.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm the only one kind of tired of Assad. Is that just me?
All right, let's end it here. Thanks, everyone, for listening to day two of the 12 Days of Podcast. Jeff, if people want to find out more about you and me, we are It's The Real. If people want to find out more about this podcast that they're going to hear every day for the next 10 days after this, if people want to know what the hell we have been up to lately, where can they go?
You can just ask us. The only thing we've been doing is podcasting. So
we answered all your questions. Why not some more?
Yeah.
All
right. So online, you can find us at soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. You can also go on iTunes and search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real, ItsTheReal, no apostrophes, no spaces. We are also on Instagram at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real, Twitter at It's The Real. If you want to find us on Snapchat, we are It's The Real, even though, honestly,
no one uses that.
No, the only
Snapchat's
time
over.
The only time we talk about it is on here.
Yo, go, just, here's the thing. Follow us on Instagram. Instagram's where we're at. Fuck Snapchat. It's The Real. We're verified. Go follow us on Instagram.
If you want to gift us Snapchat stocks, we are, we will take them.
Do we have a Bitcoin account? Is that anything we do?
I fucking hate the Bitcoin conversation.
Litecoin? What is this new thing? I don't know.
I'm so lost. Yeah. The fact is, it won't be here in 2018, and neither will we. Anyway, you can also find us, all of our music on Spotify,
yeah.
Google Play, Amazon.
Jeff, one of our songs on Spotify is almost up to 500,000 plays. That's Sugar High with us featuring Currency and Smoke Dizza. It is a jam. You guys will dig it. Pass it along. Let's get past that 500,000 mark. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy when it happens, and then we'll put up a screenshot and people will...
Not on Snapchat, only on Instagram.
Right. Also, you can probably find us on Twitch. It's The Real, It's The Real. We haven't used it yet.
No.
But it's there.
We, you know what? Great. Jeff, you know this podcast is not going anywhere unless we tell our friends, family, and fans to spread the word. Who, Jeff, would you like to tell right now?
I want to tell Tragic Johnson on Twitter.
Good name.
Who says... So I went in on Donatello.
The Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, and I said that he was the wackest one. And I stand by that.
Okay.
I think that he was, like, the guy who would probably say, like, rules are radical. Like, he's a
he's
dork.
A herb.
He's a herb. And so Tragic Johnson said, y'all sleep. He was about the stick talk from way back, and that is true.
That is technically true.
That is a true response, so shouts to Tragic Johnson.
I want to shout out Jeff Fish Gates, who I was on Instagram Live last night just updating the people on where we're at, telling them that the new episode of the podcast was up and they should check it out. And this dude, Fish Gates, jumped in and was dope on IG Live, and then he left us a message today on Instagram, and I want to read it right now. He said, big fan of your podcast. I found out about it by listening to the legendary Rockefeller episode you did. Since then, I haven't missed an episode, and I also went back and listened to damn near every episode from the past. You guys have great guests, good interviews, and you guys are funny as fuck, and undoubtedly have the best intros of all time. Kanye voice, he said. Keep up the excellent work. Hashtag salute. Hashtag teddy bear fresh. And then he said, I'm late to the It's The Real train because I used to hate on you dudes because I used to make music and my crew was named Be More Real. And his catchphrase was It's The Real. So when he heard about us, he said, I was like, these dudes are stealing my shit. Crying face, crying face, crying face. Nevertheless, the Rockefeller episode made him a fan and a believer.
Guys, please support Be More Real. All their music is probably streaming somewhere.
As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
This episode of the 12 Days of Podcast has been sponsored by the good people of Def Jam, who tomorrow are dropping Jeezy's Pressure on Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, and on JeezyShop.com. go listen to The Bop That Is The Life, featuring Wizkid and Trey Songz, produced by Cardiac. Jeezy always gets the best out of his features, and we get the best out of these 12 days of podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We've got Upscale Vandal on our podcast.